Tonight, our pretty late pal and the grand poopah from the AV Club, John Tatey, hangs out in studio. Then we'll talk about Chicago sports with Mark Carman. And finally, comedians Kevin Naughton and Ken Garr will pay us a visit. All that and more right now on Pretty Late with Patty Vasquez.
Hey, everybody. It is December 1st. This is it. We're into December. We're into the last month of the year. Yeah, did you know that?
I didn't realize that. No.
Yes. I know. All day. It's been December 1st. It's almost December 2nd.
I'm glad you told me.
I know. You should savor that. Yeah. The last 50 minutes of it.
You know what you're supposed to say?
What?
In a new month. Have you ever heard this folklore thing?
Please tell us.
When a new month begins, if the first thing you say is rabbit, rabbit, you will have good luck.
But is that why people do that on Facebook? Rabbit, rabbit.
Yeah.
Just twice? I've seen it three times. Rabbit, rabbit, rabbit.
Well, I'm sure there are regional variations.
That's supposed to
but
be.
Yeah, that's the the legend.
Did you do that today?
No, but I always do it on New Year's Eve, and I figure that covers me for the whole year. If
okay.
you do it right away for the year, I mean, the rabbit gods have got to be pretty happy with that.
Are there gods?
I'm going to assume there's gods,
okay.
Yeah.
Well, they're kind
two
of...
Two of them.
Are rabbits...
They're each named rabbit.
I would think they would be kind of like fertility-type things.
Yeah, I
right?
would imagine.
Yeah, because of the... Yeah.
Because there's a couple of them, and they're rabbits, and that's what happens, yeah.
My computer is telling me all kinds of stuff.
Burping.
Yeah, it really is. Well, I think the fertility is... it's coincidental that we bring that up then, because you are just days away from the arrival of your first...
I might not make it through the end of the show.
Firstborn. I know. Do you have like your... Does Anna have a bag, a go bag? What do you call
she
it?
She packed a go bag. Yeah, that's what you call it.
Call it a go bag?
Yep.
Because you'll be ready to go.
Yeah.
The baby. It's coming. Very
baby's
soon.
It's coming any minute. She's
full. Life will never be the same.
Yeah, I've heard that.
Yeah,
wow.
I know. I don't know how to. There's everyone's so different. You hate to warn anybody because you find it on your own.
Yeah, exactly.
And also, congratulations.
I think the biggest change will be the relative absence of pitying statements like that.
Yes.
You know, these things don't come with instruction books.
That's right.
I've heard nothing.
Are you guys reading the books, like What to Expect When You're Expecting or Pregnancy for Dummies?
Let me talk about that What to Expect When You're Expecting book.
It's a horrifying book.
Look, I started looking through that. That's the classic, as they don't hesitate to tell you. It's all over the cover. This is the one. This is the one to get. We got it from a friend who mm-hmm. was like, oh, we really like this one.
Is it still a woman in a rocking chair on the cover?
Yeah. Yeah.
Yes. Okay.
Wow. Yeah. Good mm-hmm. memory. It is a woman in a rocking chair on the cover. But inside, so the cover, yes, is so welcoming like this and so sweet. And inside, it's just like, here is everything that could possibly go wrong with mm-hmm. your pregnancy and your newborn.
Yes.
And but don't worry. But here are all the terrible things that
could happen. Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm. It's good stuff. It's
excruciating.
I know. Because you can't worry, right? You're also excited. You're buying all the baby gear.
What can I do? And there's going to be medical professionals in the area. So I feel like if one of these things happen, maybe they can figure it out.
Right. Be on the alert at all.
I don't need to know about all of it in advance.
Right.
John, can I ask you a question?
Yes. Yes.
I'm assuming you guys had a baby shower.
We didn't, actually.
Did you go register at a store
for stuff? Well, actually, this is a point of some
I was making fun of him. I was making fun of his wife registered at a site that allows you to... So all the items that she has chosen for the baby, you know, gear and a couple other things, you have the option of which store to shop at. So this is available at Target or this is available at Amazon. So it's all in one place, but you have to go somewhere. You have to hit the link to go buy it somewhere else. And then you check off whether or not you've purchased it.
Oh, you have to go first, back and check it off?
First, you reserve it, say, I want to buy this. I'm planning to buy this. And then you have to go through and also then say, I have bought this. Right?
Wow. It sounds confusing.
Wow.
Anna,
yes.
If you're listening, call into the show and tell us why you picked this strange site.
312-981-7200. Why wouldn't you just register at one? Because both places, and I think it'll give you other options. I think that your wife is just being considerate to everybody who may not particularly like those
stores.
Well,
she's a very considerate person,
yes.
So I believe that.
It's a lot of consideration.
Well, my question was this. How much stuff did she pick?
Oh.
She was very conservative, I would say. I mean, I'm not, it seems as though, because you can look and see what's already been purchased. as well. And some really nice items, you know, like the bouncers and the stroller, right. A lot of onesies. There was one item, Rob, Esmeralda, and Craig, that I actually did not have, but I was amused that they registered for it because you were actually the first family I've ever bought this for. Now, Rob, when your little ones were littler, then and they, you know, their nose was filled with mucus, what did you use to clear the nostril, the passageways?
I used that bulbous suction thing.
Yes. So, and it's weird because, like, it's a little bit of fear that you will, like, blow air into their sinus cavity.
Well, you blow it out first, and then
yes, you blow
the
it out
up and
yeah,
then release
you,
it.
Yes, you have to have it compress
not
it.
Not with this disgusting thing that Patty got me.
Yes.
Rob,
so now I don't. So this is actually a tube. You stick one. It's got two ends, and I'm not quite sure if there's like a break in it. I did a bit for this for MTV. Actually, they had me come in
with
Spanish really?
About this
Beijing
device.
Betty pot?
No. It's just a tube, right? So in case of a blocked passageway, a nostril that is blocked, right, with a lot of mucus, and obviously babies cannot, you know, blow mm-hmm. their noses out.
Or a small animal or any debris that may have made it.
If you're
going to
do this for a small animal, God bless you. So you stick one end of the tube into the baby's nose, and you stick the other end into your own mouth. And Esmeralda's head just snapped back.
What? No.
Yes, yes. And you suck. And at some point, it's supposed to, so that you can have some control over the pressure that is withdrawing the mucus from the baby's. Apparently, there's a block so that it does not enter your mouth. It's only enough to just.
Wow, that's a lot of trust.
I was looking at
this thing, and I was just like, yep. I am placing a lot of faith in this $10 device or whatever it is. Mm-hmm. It probably
this
was
is
a lot
also,
more expensive than that.
This is also your baby. It's made of you.
It is.
So I think it's okay to swallow some of its snot every once in a while.
Oh, wow.
Right?
Well, you can come over and swallow some of its snot.
It's not mine.
I have two. I never at any point went, you know, I'm just going to go ahead and suck on that nose and get that. I mean, that's why I used the bulb was to go ahead.
By the
Esmeralda,
way,
you are really heaping on the parental obligations here.
I mean, question, yes. Does that bulb thing, is it a pretty soft suction?
Yeah, I mean, I it's fine. I mean, like, there's a point where you're like, you do wish that you had more control over being able to get the mucus.
I only ask because I'm fighting a bit of a stuffy nose, and I'm wondering, does it work on adults?
Hey, Patty?
Yes, sir.
I think we could take a break now if you want to. We can take a break.
I gotta go suck on something. More to this on 720 WGN. Sorry, we are we're watching videos, demos. Parents apparently have flocked, of course, to YouTube to share their experiences with using the Nose Frida, which is a nasal aspirator. If you were listening before the break, we were talking about this little item that I purchased for John Tatey and his lovely wife, Hannah, who are expecting their first child.
And during the break.
Because you requested it. I didn't, like, out of the blue send you the Nose Frida. Yes, during the break,
during the break, we were watching YouTube videos of people using it, and this dad... Patty started this video of this dad trying to use it, and then I did the live read, and then the video is still going, and he still hasn't figured out. He's done it now, right?
No, he still hasn't made it work. No,
you got to hold the kid's head. He doesn't seem to understand that part.
Well, we started with a mom who had the baby's head against her, and then she came up around with her with the tube. So those of you who did not hear us, so basically one end is a like a test tube, which is, by the way, that looks like a little daunting to stick that in front of a baby's face. I had never seen. Well, I have actually. We had this as a prop when I was doing a bit for MTV's Cheesemate Club, and
yep, that's the part. That's the part.
Oh wow. Okay, we got to talk about something else because I'm getting sick to my stomach.
Sorry, I just got. Sorry.
I mean, they're little babies. You don't expect that much to come out.
Oh, man.
Anyway, so that's Nose Frida. You can go to
sometimes it's good things are just on the radio, you know.
I didn't expect that.
Except for us here, John, we all get to see
I know.
And witness.
I'm just
this.
Thinking of the listeners who have, lucky have not had to see this snot video.
I know that was a sudden yell, and I apologize. I needed a good laugh, everybody. I was telling John when the show started that I'm a little emotionally burned out. It's been exhausting.
How could you not be?
I know, just all the news and everything. And I know that you're not from here originally, John, but you've lived here for over a year, and this is where you're starting your family, as a matter of fact.
Yeah.
And is that my computer? But is it more happening? I Yes, Craig, are you still watching
the video?
I think
I was just telling Esmeralda how to find these videos. I think that's what you heard.
Yes, knows Frida.
Yeah.
Esmeralda.
Uh-huh. They're great.
The dad one is the funniest, and then it's really disgusting. But I mean, that's because there's nasal fluids involved. It's mucus, and he really goes for it.
Carmen's got some good sports news to talk about tonight, huh? Let's talk about sports now.
Well, some bad news because the Blackhawks lost, but Patrick Kane got his 20th in a row, at least one goal in each game for 20 games.
20th point.
20th point.
Sometimes it's just an assist.
Yeah, but that
is it really?
Yeah, it's not a goal. 20.
It's not a goal.
20 straight games with a goal would be a hell of a record, but it's just 20 straight games with a point.
Okay,
yeah,
20
a goal or an assist? Yeah.
Correct.
Yes. He participated in 20 goals in a row, which is quite impressive.
Also remarkable. Yes. So there you go. What is the record? I'm sorry.
For most goals in a row?
Yes.
For most points in a row, I think.
Well, it's probably held by Wayne Gretzky because nobody touched him while he was playing. So.
Yeah, at some point, do they just let him score or do they become, when he's getting close? Or do they not want him to?
Does the other team just let him score?
I don't know. I was just wondering. I'm in a weird mood today.
Whatever.
That's how I feel. I would just be like, let him get close.
Our goal, your goal. Mm-hmm. It's all just a goal.
I guess they don't play like that, do they? Well, the other news you were going to talk about.
Well, I was just thinking of the Packers game, which was one of the great games of the weekend, at least if you were rooting for Chicago.
Their Brett Favre night and everything.
Oh, my God.
It was great.
It was just, they were just heaping praise on Brett Favre and Brett Favre came into the booth with Alan Criss, and it was just agony, and he's telling all these boring stories, and Alan Criss was like, oh, this is the best. Oh, you're such a great gunslinger, et cetera, et cetera. And then the Packers lose, and it's raining the whole time, and oh, my God, it was so much fun to watch.
And we did not have high hopes for that game.
How could you?
Bets were off
how
after that. I don't know. And people are, obviously we have the Three Bears on WGN, and they were talking after the game. And, they were very excited that we won. And then I was thinking, what does this do for our draft pick? Because I don't have high hopes for the playoffs.
Come on.
Like, I can't be one of those people.
Ride that Jay Cutler freight train straight into the playoffs.
It's such a bumpy ride. It's some of the cars are it's very cold.
It's a long ride.
Yeah,
to the playoffs.
It's a very very long ride. Yeah, some of the seats smell. Yes.
By the way, the record for most goals is 16 games in a row.
Wow.
This was set in 21-22.
No, there you go.
Yeah. Mm-hmm. By Punch Brodbent?
Yeah, that guy.
Punch, he was good.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
Punch Brodbent.
That's what I see here.
That's a great hockey name.
That's an amazing hockey name. That really is good in any sport, I think.
Yeah.
But hockey especially.
I mean, that or boxing. What are your choices?
Well, I don't punch. That's a great baseball player's name. I could see, like a pitcher.
It has to be a nickname. Is Punch in quotation marks?
Yep.
Okay. Then I feel better.
But in the 20s, people just went by their nicknames.
It's true.
It wasn't very.
Yeah, his actual name is Harry.
Harry.
See?
That was good.
Harry Broadbent.
No, it sounds like an insurance salesman.
Harold. Harold. He got really tired of being called Harold by his mom. And then he got called Punch.
I'm Punch.
Not as good as the Rocket.
The Rocket.
Ooh.
We're talking about sports still?
Maurice Richard.
Okay. I don't know who that is.
I don't know who that is either. I'm embarrassed.
No?
Kobe Bryant retired. I don't know.
Montreal Canadian great.
Oh, okay.
Maurice the Rocket Richard.
Hockey is my weakest sport, I have to
admit. That's all
right. There you go. Kobe Bryant. When did Kobe Bryant announce he was retiring?
I think just a couple days ago on Derek Jeter's website.
Yeah, in the form of a poem.
What? Mm-hmm.
All of this is true. All of the things we said.
He wrote a poem to basketball.
He decided he was done. It's how far are we into this?
Well, I'm not sure he decided he was done so much as the fates have decided.
Yeah,
he's
really bad this year.
Oh,
like he's not playing basketball well.
Okay.
I mean, look, the Lakers tonight allowed Philadelphia their first win of the season.
Oh, did they really? People were talking about how that was going to happen.
Yeah,
yeah.
That's how bad Kobe is playing this year.
I'm so not following basketball at all. A little bit of football now and then, a little bit of the Blackhawks, no other teams. Once baseball's over, apparently I just shut down with sports, don't I? I'm like, whatever.
Yeah, but how about them Broncos, huh? Wow.
How do you like that, John Tony?
The Broncos, according to the official score, the Broncos did win that game. However, I think if you go by the rule book, as
here
the referees failed to
here
do
we
any
go.
Number of times.
What happened? Here we go.
Were there bad calls? What happened?
There were a number of I mean, there were a number of lousy calls, and they all happened at like pivotal moments for the Patriots. So there was in New England this talk of conspiracy, and you know, New England fans have been somewhat abused over the past year. So I think this was a chance for them to let out some of their lingering conspiracy theory energy and just feel like it's them against the world. I think it was actually sort of rejuvenating for the Boston fans.
Oh, wow.
But it was quite egregious, some of the calls. Well, Gronkowski can't catch a pass anymore, apparently. That's against the rules.
not allowed. Rob, I didn't realize you were big. Are you a big Broncos fan or a
no.
Patriots hater?
No, I'm actually a diehard Steelers fan.
Right.
So,
all right.
I don't necessarily hate the Patriots. It'd be nice to see somebody else win.
You seem to be enjoying John Tatey's
game. Oh, I just
pain.
Like to press buttons.
My son Griffin plays Trivia Crack. So for those of you who play Trivia Crack online and you see my name pop up, it's actually my son Griffin. But when he asks a football question, you get these different pieces.
Yeah,
it's like Trivial Pursuit. It was the question was who won the 2001-2003, I guess. Does that sound right for the Patriots?
Yes.
Yeah, I didn't guess that. I guess the Eagles. Those were my choices.
Wow, that's adorable. The Eagles, who in fact have never won the Super Bowl.
What?
Yep.
I couldn't have been more wrong. That's kind of fantastic.
Well, at least they've been to the Super Bowl. Not every team can say that, but they've never won.
This is an important piece of information for me going forward on Trivia Crack.
Yeah, there you go. That'll come up.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, I really feel like my football knowledge only really even sprung to life because of the 85 Bears. The only reason I know anything about football
that
was because
sense.
I was a kid and it was a magical season.
It was exciting.
I guess it was just the anniversary of the Miami game. That was the only game that we lost.
Yeah, I know. There was like an article in the Tribune about it and I was like, all right, relax. Yeah. You won the Super Bowl. Better to win your one game there than at the end. Well, I can tell you that much.
Well, even any Bears fan that was excited that season, they did the recap at the end of the season in all, clips of every game, and then they get to the Miami game, and I'll never forget this. I mean, I was a kid, and they played Mama Told Me There'd Be Days Like This when we lost against Miami.
Perfect.
I've always remembered that. And how long ago was that? 85? 30 years ago? Wow, that's very strange. I don't know why I remember that. More after this on 720 WGN. Don't let the music stop. I want to watch Rob Martier continue to dance like this. It's amazing. It's fantastic. Really enjoying this. Mm-hmm. He's taking everybody dance now very seriously. There we go. Oh, a little fist. Is that a fist bump or like an egg beater? What is that? What would you?
I don't know. It's really white, is what it is.
It was fantastic dancing.
He had the overbite going too.
I know,
the overbite. Yeah,
absolutely.
Very talented dance moves right there. Esmeralda was taking it all in. She was unmoved.
I was kind of dancing
a little bit.
My head wasn't moving. That's all.
That's a talent right there. How do you dance? Is it from the hips? Where do you
just
want?
Neck down?
Esmeralda, did you hear the beginning of the song?
I know, I was dancing from the neck down.
Look at Rob.
He's all neck.
He's amazing.
All right, we are trying to loosen things up a little bit here. You're listening Pretty Late. I'm your host, Patty Vasquez, live in the Allstate Showcase studio, joined by John Tatey, who is the editor-in-chief of the AV Club. You can go to avclub.com and find all of his great pieces there, one of which is a piece on Fargo, which is a show that I decided I would watch. I was staying with friends, and they were traveling. I was kind of house-sitting, and I went through their recordings on their DVR, and they happened to have four episodes of Fargo, so I figured, I had nowhere to go. I was hanging out, kind of relaxing a little bit, and I thought, I'll give it a swing. And I think I told you this. I did not realize I did not watch the pilot episode. I jumped in on the second. I thought I was watching the pilot.
Right.
So all of the initiating events, the catalyst for the entire story, I actually missed. And I thought, wow, this is brilliant. They're just sort of showing these moments after. They're showing us the moments after. I thought, wow, this is intriguing. What happened? And, I just was drawn in right away. I watched three in a row. And then I watched another. I wanted to wait because it was like Sunday or maybe Saturday. And I was like, I'll wait till Monday. I can watch two in a row then. And then I invited someone over, comedian James Vickery, and I were hanging out at Mark DeCarlo's house. And I, you got to watch the show. And I told him. And then there was another, they re-aired the pilot. And I was like, what is this? And I got to start from the beginning.
Yeah. The season premiere you're talking about, you mean,
the premiere, right? The pilot of this, I guess, because it's an anthology kind of, right? So every season is different. So I consider it to be the pilot of the second season.
That doesn't make any sense.
It doesn't really at all. We have a listener on the line who wants to tell us what show he's watching. What are you watching, Jim? Hold on a second, Jim. Let me put you on the air. Hi, Jim.
Yeah, you got to put me on first.
Yes, of course. There you are. Excellent point. Thank you for your help.
Well, you know, I was watching it, and I got the whole timeline right off the bat. My brother was very confused. I had to explain it to him. how is this Milligan getting a phone call after he killed those three guys in the hotel room last week?
Right.
And now he's getting the phone call from Ed.
Right.
So I had to explain to him that this really took place over 3 days before he did it.
Right.
Okay.
Yeah, they went back. They told different points of view. They did one episode with Mike Milligan, and then that whole episode.
Right.
And then Ed.
But the thing that really bugs me about tonight, and it's a great show. It's probably the second best show on television.
What's the first?
Homeland.
Yes. That was an amazing episode on Sunday.
Yes, it was.
Oh, my heart was racing. Do you think that the antidote's going to help him? Anyway, go ahead.
Okay. I hope so, because he's my favorite character on the show. But getting back to Fargo.
Plus, they already almost killed him. I mean, like, how many times? He recovered pretty quickly.
I told my mom, I said, you know, he's having a rough few weeks here.
Yeah, poor Quinn.
Quinn, yeah. Mm-hmm. But getting back to Fargo, the thing that I didn't understand about tonight's episode.
Yes, last night's, right?
Last night's episode.
Yes. Mm-hmm. Okay.
But I watched it tonight.
Okay, let me see if I can help, because I'm going to try, because I watched it right after work.
The thing that didn't make sense to me, when Dodd freed himself.
Yes.
Why he didn't kill her immediately and then kill Ed when he walked through the door.
That's a good... By the way, spoilers for anybody who doesn't watch the show. let's go ahead and do spoilers.
Like you said, it was last night.
It
if
was last...
If watched it by now, then it's not their favorite show.
There you go. And
fair
you can catch
enough,
up later.
Fair enough. And that's still wonderful if you know what's going to happen.
Well, my theory about that was he told Ed, I'm going to have fun tearing her up. Or something
like
that.
I thought he was going to cut her up.
Right, but I think he wanted Ed to watch. That's what I would think. I think he wanted to take pleasure in that. He's my least favorite. I love that actor from Burn Notice.
He's great. We still call him Michael Weston, by the way.
Yeah, when you're a spy. But he's my least favorite actor on this show. I don't like him
really?
In this.
You don't like his accent, probably.
I hate it. He's
Dodd, you're talking about?
He talks like a doofus.
No, but it sounds Irish to me. It doesn't sound like it fits with everybody else.
But
that's true. He doesn't sound like Minnesota. He doesn't sound that way. But that was the only thing that bugged me, that he didn't kill them both. But if you think he wanted him to watch.
That's my theory.
Know? Well, I think that maybe more to the point is that he wants her to suffer. You know,
yes.
He didn't say, I can't wait to kill you. He was really thinking about how he could make her suffer the most.
But he knocks her out.
Yes.
He obviously beat her up because she's out cold in the back of the cabin.
Yeah.
Right.
But he didn't tie her up.
No, that's true. He didn't tie her up. It's a good point.
Yeah, but he doesn't have enough respect for a woman to do that. I think that's in keeping with Dodd's...
That's true.
Sort
he's
of
always putting down
utter
women.
Disregard for, right. And really, I think fear of women, and so I think
was cool when the Indian blew him away, though.
And by the way, we have to be careful because that's why a lot of people get killed in this episode is because they call him different things.
Yeah, I know. That's why he shot him.
Yeah, a lot of people.
He called him a mongrel. He called him all sorts of things.
Yes,
you know, half breed and. He was calling them all. Sorry, he finally got sick of it.
Well, not just him. It was the bar and the cops.
Well, he goes into this bar, and I think, it's filled with these bigots, and the bartender says something to him about wounded knee. You know, didn't you guys want to start?
Well, you saw the plaque outside the bar, right?
Right, there's a plaque outside the bar.
About the Native Americans being hung there.
You know, we hung 23 Sioux Indians in some year in 18-something.
On the spot.
So the bartender makes this remark about wounded knee, and then Hansi steps outside, and these three guys follow him out.
Right.
And, you know, what I found fascinating about the sequence is Hansi, you know, this bartender is sort of putting this story on Hansi and telling him his story. And Hansi at one point says, like, what about three tours in Vietnam, Purple Heart, Bronze Star?
Right.
That's his actual story. But then he gets outside and he decides to embrace this wounded knee story. And he shoots both guys. And if you watch the scene, he shoots them both in the knee.
In the knee.
He literally executes that wounded knee story.
Exactly.
And it's just so...
And then he blows away the two cops.
Mm-hmm.
Yes, that is.
Well, they come at him and say, "Hey, Cochise," or whatever the
exactly.
Yeah, yeah,
exactly.
Everybody has a different name.
But how did he get? You know, he left the cabin with a scissor sticking out of the back of his neck.
Yeah, she did stick him with a
and yet on the previews for next week, it shows him in a phone booth talking to Gene Smart.
Well, maybe it just, you know, like, you know when you stick a safety pin and you can stick it through just like a layer of skin?
A safety pin compared to
I'm just saying maybe she didn't hit anything critical. Just one thing. The fact that they had broken Dodd's neck, right, because he can't move his legs. Something's wrong with my neck and I can't feel my feet. Mm-hmm. And then they just killed him. I'm sorry. It's such a dark. There's so much darkness in the show. Go ahead, John.
Oh, it's tremendous. I don't think it's topped the first Fargo because Billy Bob Thornton was absolutely fabulous in that one. So was the cast. But
I haven't
this
seen
is
that
coming
season.
Close. Mm-hmm. This one's just more violent.
Well, we're gonna ask John or say.
Jim, is your brother a little slow? Do you have to catch him up on TV shows a lot?
No, he's not slow at all.
Okay. Well, I think there's a lot of imagery.
Well, you just started by mentioning how much smarter you were about the show.
No. I didn't say I was smarter. I said that he didn't get the timeline right away.
Okay.
He said he watched it last night, and he said, after you watch it today, you need to explain to me the timeline.
Well, Jim, all you have to say is erstwhile.
Erstwhile?
Yeah, that's how they start the episodes.
Erstwhile
and Fargo. They show you clips and they catch you up a little bit.
Uh-huh.
But those two episodes are basically erstwhile when Mike Mulligan is at the hotel and also you know everything else is going on. Then Ed is with his Peggy.
Well, you know, it's a perfect episode for you though.
Yeah, why is that?
Because your least favorite character is now dead.
Yes. Yeah. I was. Well, he's good to hate too, I guess. But I just think the performance bugged me. I guess
I loved the performance. I loved how Dodd had this animal energy to him, and he also had this sort of petulant child energy to him that I thought was portrayed so nicely. And I like how Dodd kind of chews on his words and has a little bit of a different accent than the other ones. I think it sets him apart and does make him seem more like.
The other question I have for you is the woman, you know, Kirsten Dunst's co-worker that was supposed to be at the...
Is she alive?
Is she alive? Because they cut it. I think she's dead, but
well,
I don't know.
In that scene, Hanzi kind of strokes her hair like we saw him do with this rabbit earlier in the season. It really recalled that scene we saw with him cradling the rabbit and stroking the rabbit, and we all know what happened to the rabbit. So
yeah.
I think that may have been a little hint.
It was not a
and
good luck rabbit.
Dodd's daughter, we all assume, is dead also, that his brother killed her.
We assume
you don't take sides against the family. Does that sound familiar?
That's right. Yeah, it's a tremendous show. Well, Jim, now there's only two episodes left. By the way, my favorite actor on the show, right? I mean, I like them all, but I love Ted Danson. I just think he's doing such a beautiful job.
Yeah, that's what most everybody says.
Yeah,
he does everything so naturally.
But
I think I do think Patrick Wilson's doing a heck of a job.
And Gene Smart. Actually, how do you pick?
Bokeem Woodbine is
my
star.
Yeah, he's great too. Yeah.
All right. Well, listen. Great talking to you guys.
Thank you, Jim. Yep.
But keep rolling with Fargo.
All right, and we'll catch up on Homeland next week.
Jim, you were a lot of fun. Thanks for calling.
Yeah, thank you. It's exciting. It's nice to know that people are watching the show that we love. I watch The Good Wife too, there's never anyone on the show that watches The Good Wife.
I got to get on that. I'm tired of giving you blank stares every time you bring.
You're
up
not
the
only
wife.
One. 312-981-7200. I want to know if someone watched The Good Wife this weekend.
Oh, you know
because
I got to go, Patty. What
I know.
A shame.
312. Well, they did an interesting episode on race. 2 weeks in a row, they addressed race, and at first I was like, oh, this is pretty good. And then I thought, well, this is also kind of condescending. And also, where are the Mexicans?
Oh, really?
More after this on 720 WGN. You're listening Pretty Late. I'm your host, Patty Vasquez, live in the Allstate Showcase studio. We are hanging out with the editor-in-chief of the AV Club. You can go to avclub.com for all of his great work and the work of all the people that he now is editor-in-chief of.
Now, they tried to trick me on this live read. Do you see what I'm talking about? The first six digits of the phone number are numbers.
Numerical, right?
And then they wrote out 3,000.
They just switch it up. They get bored.
I was like a freight train heading for that line, and I was just like, what is this?
I do get caught up sometimes when I wonder if they put a period or a comma in places. I mean, like, obviously I'm supposed to proofread them, and that's on me. But sometimes you pick it up, and you're starting to read, and I try to make it sound natural, and then I try to take a breath, and then I'm like, can everybody hear me breathing? You know, so
I just don't care anymore. If you hear me take a gulp of air, because it's in all capital letters, and it feels like you're yelling it as you read it a little bit.
I hope we don't feel like they don't feel like they're being yelled at. We have some lovely, lovely sponsors.
Oh no,
show.
I hope I was. I hope I rendered it.
Oh, you did very well. Yeah. I have a. I wonder, Genucel. I need to get a hold of them because I've been using their anti wrinkle cream, and I actually very much I'm enjoying it. So I think that would be good for our show.
Genucel.
It's anti wrinkle cream and like for bags under your eyes and stuff like that.
Did you find this?
Here, they're one of the sponsors in the daytime.
Oh, I see.
Are so one of the somebody upstairs gave me a sample. So
perhaps they should sponsor your show as well.
I think because when you put on your anti wrinkle cream at night.
Yeah.
I mean, you do it in the daytime too, but there's
night
cream. Yeah, because it's when you're resting, it does its magic. I need to get more sleep. I'm feeling cranky pants today. I just felt really stressed.
Really?
By the way, I had a very stressful dream. It's part of the reason I think I'm stressed today. I woke up.
That can make a big difference.
And we have Jill Urchick is coming in on Friday. She confirmed today that she's coming in for dream weaving. So
dream weaving.
Yeah, is what we call it. She interprets our dreams, and I think I'll be able to remember this one because it was very specific. But the reason I took a moment before we came back on the air, John. Because you guys do like the AV Club, sort of like your roundup or Q&A. Did you submit for this? What would you change about Star Wars? I was trying to find your answer, but there was nothing that you would change.
What would I change about Star Wars? I believe I said I would have better games within the Star Wars universe was my answer.
Yes, you
to that
did.
One.
On the a board game, there are a lot of choices there.
In the movies, you see them playing, when they first get on the Millennium Falcon, you see them playing this sort of holo chess game where monsters fight on this hologram table, right? That's a classic scene, let the Wookiee win. And then part of the lore is that Han Solo won the Millennium Falcon in a card game called Sabacc.
Right.
But that's really all the games that we know about. This card game and this, it's basically poker and chess exist in the Star Wars world. And I wish that these people had better games to play because they're on these ships for months on end. They need to entertain themselves somehow.
And you also suggested they could have made something on par with Fallout 4.
Oh, did I?
Yes. You said that.
Yeah, why not?
You spent the.
What's that?
This is our closing the segment song, remember, Patty?
Yeah. Are you hanging out for one more segment or are you done for the night?
I better go.
You have to go? Will you? Now, when is the baby due?
December 19th.
December, I'm off next week, so I guess.
Oh, really?
Yeah. So our next
we
one.
We can
would,
squeeze one more in.
The 15th.
We'll see how
you'll be
it
on
goes.
Call. You'll be on
I'll
call.
Be on call.
Go to avclub.com for all of the wonderful work they have there and follow John Tatey at John Tatey, JOHNTETI, on Twitter and find him on Facebook.
I love the new music.
Thank
man.
You. More after this on 720 WGN. You are listening pretty late. I'm your host, Patty Vasquez, live in the Allstate Showcase Studio, hanging out. And we've got Mark Carman on the line with us. Hey, Carm, how are you doing?
Patty, I'm doing great. Great to be with you on this beautiful Tuesday night.
Yes, it's now December 2nd. Happy December 2nd. We're well into the end of the year almost. Isn't this crazy?
Well, it's wonderful. I mean, every day, once we fall back, Patty, it's just the slow march to spring forward, and we're getting there. We're into December.
I like the way you bookend that, right? As soon as we fall back, that means we're in the launch toward warmer weather, even though the coldest has not yet hit us. That's all right.
That's right. We're ready to take the pain. We're going to embrace the suck, mm-hmm. and and we're we're moving forward. That's what we do here.
I've been very careful to check myself when I want to say that the weather has been very nice, because last year, as everybody knows, I've been accused of jinxing our weather and causing the blizzard, the pretty late blizzard on Super Bowl Sunday. So I'm going to keep myself in check for the. Although I did say it was going to be warm for more than two dozen days,
right,
or whatever.
You were right about that.
It was beautiful at the end of October, and yeah, it was a great month. I do want to thank you, Carm, for hanging out with us on Thanksgiving, and it was fun to spend the holiday with you.
It was most definitely my pleasure, and I apologize that I left you for the final hour, but
No. It was great. No, we loved having you. It was our pretty late Thanksgiving, second Thanksgiving extravaganza, which was more ganza than extravaganza. I'm not sure if that's a real word. It was weird. Here, Carm, I didn't even tell you this. I don't know if I mentioned it to you. Even my mother canceled coming to our Thanksgiving party.
That's. I think you did say that, and that's when I did start getting emotional and had to leave.
You couldn't take it anymore? It was intense.
I mean, it's one thing if Mark Carlo doesn't show up or any of your other incredibly popular friends, but when your mom starts canceling, that's when, you know, I got to start to worry about my own presence in front of you.
I'm thinking about doing something this week that I'm not sure she'll appreciate. Have you seen the photos of Serena Williams and Amy Schumer that Annie Leibovitz has taken for this calendar?
Hang on, I'm looking at them. I have not seen them. I'm pulling them up right now, though.
All right, because a lot of people.
Serena Williams and Amy Schumer.
Yes, Annie Leibovitz took photos of them. And there's a calendar coming out with also Patti Smith. There's a bunch of, apparently she does this every year. And a lot of women on Facebook have been reposting Amy Schumer's photo, you know, kind of showing this real woman who's a little bit larger and, you know, not afraid to show it. And Serena Williams, obviously very muscular and stunning. And Annie Leibovitz shot really gorgeous photos of them. So have you had a chance to see them?
I am looking at them. I mean, listen, you know.
Yeah. you don't seem impressed by the photography.
Well, no, here, let's put it this way. If Serena Williams wanted to go on a date with At the Carm,
yes.
The answer to that would be yes.
Right.
So I would love to get to know Serena.
Well, you're also a big tennis fan, right?
I am a huge tennis fan, so that's part of it.
And you're not intimidated by her muscular stature?
No, I am absolutely intimidated by it. But I,
are you fascinated, intrigued, maybe?
Yeah.
Yeah, all right.
Those are words.
All right. we'll go with those as choices.
I mean,
you don't have to pass judgment on Amy. Amy may not be your type. Here's the reason I'm bringing this up, and I'm going to go ahead and say it on the air, even though my mom might hear this.
Uh-huh.
You know how the Dove campaign a few years ago was doing like a real woman campaign? And they started with, you know, some girls of all different body types. And then they did an older age group. And Kathy and Judy were still on the air. And they mentioned that Dove was doing a talent search. They were looking for women over a certain age. I believe it was over 65. My mother was at the doctor's office. So I called the number that Kathy and Judy provided and did my mother's act. Hello, my name is Dora. And I am interested in trying out for the Dove campaign. So my mother, I told my mom about it, and she was game. She went and did. She even had a cast. She'd had surgery on her wrist. Went in with a cast. Then she had to go in basically a bikini, like bra and underwear kind of a situation. And I've never told you this story, Craig. My mother was chosen to be flown to New York as some of the finalists for the Dove campaign, for the Real Women campaign. And my mother calls me from New York. She's hanging out with these women from all over the country, beautiful women. And she goes, this woman was photographing me and that she's very good. I think she's famous. I'm not sure. She's a little manly. And I don't know. She was very good and she was a little bit hesitant, but I asked her to take a photograph with me. And she doesn't wear any makeup and she has glasses on. I'm like, were you photographed by Annie Leibovitz? And as it turned out, my mother was, in fact, photographed. I have a photo of my mother next to Annie Leibovitz. I'm going to post that on Facebook this week. I probably have to run down there now and get it before she hears the podcast of this show. But my here's Carmen. The reason I'm telling you this story is one, I wanted to check out the photos of Serena Williams. But my husband was so glad. My mother was ultimately not chosen for the campaign because during the interview process, they were asking her like, "How will this change your life? You know, what do you think?" She's like, "This won't change my life. I've lived a very good life," and that's not. That's not really the woman they want to choose.
I don't even want to be in this.
And then when they chose the woman who was going to be the face of Dove, they put her on billboards everywhere, like pretty much like the Amy Schumer shot, basically, where you can kind of see everything but just one part's covered. And my husband was so relieved because he came up the stairwell from the subway to that billboard. He's like, "Oh, that could have been my mother-in-law."
That would have. I am with your husband there. That would have been mortifying.
Yeah, it was. He was very grateful that my mother felt that the Dove campaign was not going to change her life. She has a very fulfilled life, regardless. Would you ever? I mean, it is one of those things that comes up. These kind of. Do you think that Amy Schumer and Serena Williams, the reason they posed for this, they wanted to be part of this calendar or were invited, would kind of like to address the trolls on the internet? You know, body shaming and you're too fat and all this stuff. I mean, does showing more flesh address that, or does it just give them more to work with? Do you know what I mean, Carm?
I hear you, Patty. I think it probably gives them more to work with, but like, I always look at it like,
right?
You're Serena Williams. Like, some troll on Twitter? Are you kidding? You're the greatest tennis player of all time. Mm-hmm. You got so much freaking money. You have an amazing life, at least from the outside looking in. And don't tell me you're having a hard time getting a date. So what the hell do you care?
Right.
You know, what someone's saying on Twitter. It's just, that's crazy to me. There's no need for this.
Yeah, but she's, and I'm, or maybe it's to be shot by, like I said, Annie Leibovitz is one of the, most legendary photographers of our time, especially when it comes to celebrities and the images. So, you know, people always remember Whoopi Goldberg in the bathtub and milk, just kind of her face coming up, emerging out of it. I think Serena's photo is stunning. But, and as you mentioned, by the way, that Serena Williams is one of the greatest of all time, which leads me to another conversation in contrast. Michael Jordan, who I think you consider to be the greatest basketball player of all time. Would that be accurate?
It is very much accurate. I'm looking at this Whoopi Goldberg and milk in the bathtub. Thank you for bringing that to my attention tonight.
Had you not seen that before?
Not in a long time, and maybe never. But now I have.
Now you have. Yeah. Well, she's not. I mean, you. I guess you assume she. You can't tell that whether or not she's naked though in the tub, can you?
No, perhaps she. No, but it's just a weird picture with Whoopi Goldberg in an awkward bathtub position. But God bless. God bless Whoopi Goldberg.
Oh yeah. I forgot that. That's what that looked like.
I mean, it looks like she's giving birth.
It's or just relaxing. She's just, that's how she relaxes in the bathtub, is with her ankles over the edges of the tub.
Yeah, and her hands up and the whole thing. But okay, go ahead.
Okay,
Daddy.
There you go.
What's your Michael question?
No, so when people are making comparisons to the retirement of Kobe Bryant, what do you think about that?
Well, Kobe is the closest to Michael. There's no doubt about that, as far as just purely imitating how Michael played. And I mean, Kobe literally came out of the womb and started sticking his tongue out and was doing everything to be Michael Jordan. So I think it's worthy to at least say that. And I think people always get the Michael argument wrong. Like they say, oh, he was the most competitive. Kobe was insanely competitive. I mean, the guy was in the gym at 2 in the morning working on his shot. I mean, I would never... In my mind, I mean, he's just as competitive as Michael. Michael was just better.
Right.
I mean, he had much greater touch around the hoop. I mean, Jordan, like, up on one side, in on the other. I mean, he never missed those shots. And aside from that, when the game's on the line, you give the ball to Michael. More times than not, he's hitting game winners or leading you back the entire fourth quarter. And he was a phenomenal defender, and he did everything else. So, I mean, to me, like, Michael's the greatest player to play anything. That's kind of how I like to talk about it. But Kobe, I have so much respect for that guy. He said something, Patty, the other day that I think we can all put in our own lives. He was talking about how do you get to be great, or how do you, basically go about your life. And you find something that you're passionate with and something that you want.
Right.
And you break it down to the most minuscule first step, and you go from there. So whatever it is that you want to accomplish in your life, you have to figure that out. And he was fortunate enough to figure it out at 6 years old. He loved basketball, and he had the confidence that he could do it. I mean, his dad was a professional basketball player, so that helps. But, and then, you know, just incrementally getting better. So, I mean, you know, you're going out to L.A. and you want to be, you know, you got a TV possibility like that. How hard did you work at that for so long, just incrementally going after it?
I think it's
a great lesson for, you know, people to look at.
What do you think of the people that are saying that he's not actually playing terribly well this year and being critical of the way that he's playing? He's still an active player, Carm. All the things you said are great about the legacy Kobe leaves behind, but the guy on the court right now is not the person you just talked about.
No, but I mean, listen, most athletes, they love it so much they can't leave the game. I mean, the Lakers lost to the Sixers. The Sixers had come in, hadn't won a game all season. Now they're 1-18 after beating L.A. and Kobe Bryant. And Kobe shot 7 for 26, 4 of 17 from 3. I mean, that's awful. And he was minus 21 plus minus, which is not an NBA stat that people look at a lot. But that means when he was on the court, the Lakers were the worst that they were all night when he was playing. So, but I mean, listen, Michael played at least 1 year too many with the Wizards. You know, all these guys hung on too long. Muhammad Ali left the ring way too late. I mean, there's so many. Willie Mays, you know, greatest center fielder of all time in baseball. He was a shadow himself at the end of his career.
Babe Ruth. I think Babe Ruth did the same thing, didn't he?
Yeah. I mean, how can you blame somebody for
wanting,
you know,
to hang on.
Hanging on until they absolutely realize, you know what, I can't do it anymore. I mean,
still though, like, wait, but for Michael Jordan, he shot like 45% the last year that he was playing with the Wizards. So was he Michael Jordan anymore? No. But was he the shell of Michael Jordan that Kobe Bryant might be of his best self? I don't think Michael had deteriorated to the extent that Kobe, and they let him play. He starts games. It's similar to Derek Jeter's last year, only I think even worse, Carm. He's out there embarrassing himself a little bit, and as much respect as you want to have for the guy, maybe he should have been retiring the day he made the announcement. Maybe he shouldn't be playing basketball games anymore.
Right, but I mean, who's he hurting? I mean,
you're right, the Lakers are completely out of it.
And they're terrible, so I mean, I'd rather, when the Lakers come in this year, I'd rather see Kobe play and, you know, give him a standing ovation and, you know, I don't know.
So a little victory lap for him is what you're saying.
Yeah, I mean, I think he's earned that right.
Oh, there you go.
I mean, if I'm him, do I want to go out, you know, 7 for 26 against the Sixers and whatever else is coming? Most definitely not. But, I mean, he's also, I mean, there is, you know, I know he's made a ton of money, Craig, but, you know, when you are making $25-odd million or whatever his exact figure is, I mean, I'm probably not walking away from $25 million. I don't know if you are.
I'd take that
last check.
Yeah. why aren't they playing him to his skill level then, Carm? Why aren't they letting Kobe come off the bench and maybe only play 7 or 8 minutes a game? Why aren't they acknowledging where he's at?
Well, I mean, I think that they just feel like he's earned the right to be out there. If he wants to play, they're going to let him play. And, you know, the other thing, too, I mean, really, if you're the Lakers, you want to lose. You want the highest draft pick so you can get the Simmons kid out of LSU. So, in a way, him playing perhaps is helping you. I mean, the Sixers got to win tonight, so Lakers are only one game ahead of the Sixers now at 2-15. So, you know, I mean, they actually do want to lose, and he's going to help. And the guy's gunning away. What's a bit more interesting to me is, like, if you're on the court with him, right, how are you letting, like, if I'm Julius Randle, one of their players, or D'Angelo Russell, rookie guard, that's kind of a bold thing to do as a rookie, but I'm not giving Kobe the ball, you know? I'm just going to go get mine, and, you know, when I'm in trouble, sure, you can have it, but I'm not going to defer to him. Yeah. I think at some point, listen, you know, should Byron Scott be calling, if they have a game-winning opportunity, should it go to Kobe? No, it shouldn't. He should be developing the young guys on the team, and Kobe should understand that.
There you go. All right, we're hanging out with Mark Carman and talking all things sports. More with, well, and my mom in her bikini. More after this on 720 WGN. I'm always happy when the Chicago Bears win, not just for our team, for our city, but also it means that it's another day that Mark Carman can breathe freely when he hangs out with the three Bears. Hey, Carm, is that the way you look at a Bears win? Is both, you know, victory for the city, but also it's gonna be the yelling is gonna be at least somewhat vigorously enthusiastic and happy.
I mean, if you haven't heard of the old Ham OB with Kaz show, without promoting myself too much here, you're really, you got to give a spin on a Sunday afternoon. It's really Ed Obradovich is something, and Hamp and Kaz are the greatest, too. So it's a lot of fun, Patty. But to answer your question, whether they win or lose, I'm equally terrified.
Well, I can see that. I can see that. I'm not, who did Hamp say got the moves of Richard Simmons?
That would be Shea McClellan, who I've never really seen anybody despise an athlete to the level that Dan Afton absolutely abhors Shea McClellan. And it's funny because, like, you get people who don't know the game as well, and they look at the tackle numbers, and Shea's numbers aren't terrible. But a guy who actually knows the game is watching what he's doing. And he is, like, legit offended. It's like a comic or something stealing lines from somebody else. Or I don't know how to put it, Patty, but he is legit offended by this guy, the way he goes out and plays football.
Wow. Yeah, no, he was yelling. All I know is he can't watch him. He wants us to go watch him, but he can't do it anymore. So you must have been, what a great victory against the Packers. No, did you see that coming? Did you think that was a possibility?
No, not a chance. I would have almost found it more likely that, you know, a pretty girl would have asked me out than that was going on.
Aww.
Okay. I'm kidding.
All right.
I wasn't looking for sympathy. My bad.
We took a left turn into Carm's dating life. That's okay. No, we can go there.
Let's not go there. That'd be unfortunate.
312-981-7200. Anyone that wants to go out with Carm this weekend?
Mm-hmm.
I knew Craig would jump in there. God bless Craig. No, I did not see that coming. And they're a 7-point favorite this Sunday at home versus the 49ers. Now, San Francisco's not very good, but I can't remember the last time the Bears were a 7-point favorite, Patty. So, if I was a betting person, I would take San Francisco there because I expect the game to be close. Hopefully, the Bears will win it.
What are our chances for playoffs at this point?
It's pretty slim. They got to win out.
I kind of like that noise you made there. Pretty slim. Okay.
Yeah. Well, I mean, they got to win all the games, which they have. This week is winnable. Washington at home the following week is winnable. Going to Minnesota, the best team in the division right now, they're going to be a significant underdog. So, listen, they had the Vikings beat at home, and John Fox had a meltdown, and they lost. So they can beat them, but it's just very hard in the NFL, especially a team of the Bears level that's middle of the pack now, which is better than people thought they were. You know, if you check the tape, Abby, I think I told you early in the season they would not be as bad as everyone thought.
I think you were the only person. You were the only one.
Yeah, well, I don't know if I was the only, but I was one of the few.
Yes,
so
okay, we'll say that.
I said 6-7 wins, and they're gonna surpass that. 8-9, and if the unthinkable happens, 10 wins, get in the playoffs. I mean, that would be an unbelievable accomplishment. But and maybe they will. At least we're in December and they're relevant, so that's nice.
Excellent. And what do you got coming up this weekend? The beat on Saturday, got Wildcats. What's going on?
We are after Northwestern basketball, who huge win tonight for the Cats. Now 6-1, they beat Virginia Tech on the road. Not easy to do. They've beaten Missouri. They beat a Columbia team that very well may be in the tournament. So they got some quality wins. Their only loss is against top 10 in the country, North Carolina. Northwestern basketball is potentially going to be a story. I really hope it is. But the Cats are playing at 2 against SIU Edwardsville. And so I'll be out there for the first half and then coming back to the studio to do the beat with Connor McKnight. So we'll have it probably about 4:30 until 7 o'clock. Then Hamp will be with Kaz on Sunday.
And what time is game on Sunday? What time are the Bears playing?
The noon kick, and actually the Blackhawks are playing Sunday afternoon at 4. So we will be on at 3 until 3:30. Then we'll go into Blackhawks pregame. We'll be on the stream, and I believe that I'm sure that there's – I think that's app-friendly too, I would think – And then they'll replay the entire post-game show 8 to 11 o'clock on Sunday night. So that's kind of a little bonus Sunday night action for you.
There you go. Well, we always like bonus action on Sunday nights. And, you know, I think Carm's looking for some as well. Carm, it's always fun to talk to you on Tuesdays. We have next week off, so I'm not going to get to talk to you until the following week. So
it's me and Hannah sitting in for you.
Oh, that's right. You're filling. You'll be here. Maybe I should call your show is what I should do.
You should call the show. You should call your own show. Mark Carmen and Hannah Stanley will be doing it.
I won't do that. It'll be weird. It'd be like I'm standing over your shoulder. What are you guys doing? What are you doing now? Well, now what are you doing? Why are you doing it that way? I'm not going to call it.
I'll just speak for Hannah, but I'm pretty sure we would both love it. So
I'll be texting you. What are you doing? Well, thanks, Carm.
You're ruining everything I built. Patty, have a great trip. Great to talk to you, of course.
Great talking to you as well, and good luck with that. With a cute girl asking you out. We wish you the very best on that.
Thanks.
That's Carm. Follow him on Twitter @TheCarm, and find him on Facebook. More after this on 720 WGN. You are listening Pretty Late. I'm your host, Patty Vasquez, live in the Allstate Showcase studio. And joining me is comedian and friend.
Oh, yeah.
Kevin
Naughton.
But if I said what? Did I hesitate too much? Were you friends?
Friends?
For a long time.
Yeah, I know. I've known you for a long, long time.
Let's not say how long. Let's not get into it. The Improv on Wells was still open. That's where we met, was at the Improv.
Yeah, that's pretty much where we were
shooting. That was a great club. Yeah, we were shooting pool.
Yeah, well, yes. Eventually we shot pool.
I think we did. There and other places and had a few cocktails now and then. Before we talk about any of that, you have a show every month at Zany's on Wells called Snapshots.
I do.
And you host a show where comedians talk about the idiocy, a little snapshot of the things that they see in their lives around them.
I used to host it, and what I started to do was I was talking to Bert about it, the guy who's in... You know, the vice president of Zany's. I said, the big guy.
Yes.
I said, hey, do you mind if I close the show? Do you mind if I...
That's smart.
And he said to me, he said, no. So I hosted a couple of them. I took a few bullets and decided, you know what? I'm just going to close the show out from now on.
What do you mean by took a few bullets?
Well,
because it's the hardest job.
It is. Warming the crowd up is really difficult to do. You know, and that room is, it's a great room. It's my favorite room in the country.
Yes.
But it can be very difficult sometimes, especially when all of a sudden you're like, good evening, ladies and gentlemen. You hear, hey!
Yes.
And you,
a mocking laugh?
Oh, just some bizarre, strange, just, you know, every heckle you can hear, I've probably heard. And I just love giving them rope to kill themselves with.
I think one night I loved, and I don't know if I've ever seen any other comic do it. If they have, they probably took it from you, was you're down there, I'm up here, I got a microphone, God's got a plan, and you ain't in it.
Oh,
I believe
is
you.
That was something I had to use, yeah. Mm-hmm. You know, after a while, the best instruction I ever got from was, I think it was T.P. Mulroney who told me, he said, you know what you want to do to be able to do your act? When I was a younger comic, he said, you want to memorize like about a dozen comebacks that will just floor anybody, anytime,
shut
anywhere.
Shut them up. Uh-huh.
Just, you got to shut them up because you want to be able to do your act. And if you just, and you don't have to use them, you put them in your holster and just hang on to them just in case.
Mm-hmm. Sure. And, words you learn to whisper, a helicopter?
Yeah. You know, stupid things.
Sure.
Like, well, you know, do I come and bother you while you're flipping burgers? Whatever it is.
Mm-hmm.
You know, just some way to stop the heckler. And then you begin to climb out from there. And it's amazing how once you have that confidence, you don't even use them anymore. And Brian Regan told me years ago, he said, you know, in a 45-minute act, you won't use all 10, 12 of those comebacks.
No.
And he's right. I think I use a couple, three, and then you're done. Because once they know who's boss, you're done.
Well, for me, I walk up to it because I find the best way for me to make that situation really, really hit home is if the entire crowd is on my side. Right. If I know they're with me and this audience member is also disrupting the show for them, because for me, when someone disrupts the show, they are ruining it for everybody else as well. Not just for the material I intended to do, but people who have paid for parking, who paid for their tickets, who hired a babysitter. They didn't pay for some jackass in the middle of the room to sort of contribute or think that they are making the show better. Kevin, I had to leave my a party at Griffin's, like all the parents were having a party. One of the dads was telling me how much he enjoys heckling because he loves the verbal jujitsu with the comedians.
Like,
that right?
Oh, I lost it because I just, it's not, can you imagine what kind of chaos there would be if there were 150 people who thought they were making the show better?
Yeah, you got to squash them right away.
Yeah.
I remember going on stage at Zany's at one point, and I was hosting the show years ago, and I remember getting up on stage, and all of a sudden somebody yelled something at me. It was a guy with his date, and his girlfriend gave him the elbow to the stomach, like, hey, shut up. And the guy's like, well, he likes that. That's how they get their material. No.
No, I didn't, never.
We don't sit at home and write going, mm-hmm. okay, I think this is the point where this is where the jerk in the audience jumps in. Mm-hmm. No, I've never written that way. I never will write that way.
No, I one time, and sometimes things will come into you on stage. I remember one night we were actually doing the Oprah Winfrey documentary, and these guys were heckling, and I said, look, I don't let my children interrupt me when I'm writing this material. I'm certainly not going to let you interrupt me when I'm performing it.
Yeah. Now you're bringing back memories. I mean, I was working a club on the Southwest Side at one point, and there was this big woman who came in, and she was gassed drunk, mm-hmm. and she sat, they sat her right up front, mm-hmm. and
she was drunk.
Oh, she was just out of mm-hmm. her mind drunk, and she was loud and in line, and they should never have admitted her into the club.
That's the thing too, but they don't want to sell drinks sometimes.
Well, I got to understand that from a business standpoint. I was headlining the room, and there was a couple of guys who stopped in to do guest sets, so we had the three act show plus mm-hmm. two other plus the owner wanted to go up and do some time.
I know where this was.
And plus there was also somebody who stopped by who happened to have something to do with the liquor license, and he wanted to go up and do his impressions.
Of course.
So all of this is going on, and then I got to follow the circus. You know, mm-hmm. in the meantime, this woman who, let's just call her tough-looking biker chick, uh-huh. she's sitting there, and she doesn't even know where she's at, and she's just going on and talking and talking, and the comics are trying to do their act.
Right.
And then it ended up in the lobby of the place. I walk up, and after she interrupted three or four different comics are standing in the lobby, and they're talking about this woman. And I come walking up, and they're like, well, I said, what's going on, guys? They said, well, this woman won't be quiet. I was like, why don't we kick her out? Well, we're trying to figure out how we can do that. And I said, well, it'd be nice if you got rid of her before I got up there, because I got to do 45 minutes to an hour.
It would be lovely if that occurred.
Yeah,
yes.
You know, so if we can get her out then, because they did not get rid of her. I said, I think you should get rid, and they did not get rid of her. And then, of course, I went up and I thought, mm-hmm. okay, you know, the old don't let them breathe. So I went
get
up,
right into it.
Yeah, get right into your act. So I started pounding my material out. I didn't, there was, you know, and then you know me, I talk fast.
I don't even know what that's like.
Yeah, so I'm pounding out the act. I'm just going nuts. I had the audience right where I wanted them. Everybody's laughing, and all of a sudden, I think I took like a nanosecond
of a breath.
And this other chick got her table. She got up and she said, "Will you shut the up?"
To the woman?
Biker girl.
Oh.
And then the biker girl's table, they all get up. And they're just squaring off like the Hatfields and the McCoys right in front of me. And, the best I could do at that point, I tucked the microphone under my arm and I thought, well, let's see where this goes.
Wow.
And you know the old saying, kicking and screaming? Mm-hmm. They dragged the biker chick out, kicking and screaming. And I just grabbed them, and I did the best Stan Laurel impression I could do, just letting this fade off into the sunset. And I said, let's just listen to her as she gets kicked out, as she yells and her voice gets quieter and quieter.
Yeah.
And she left, and as she's leaving, she gets quieter and quieter. And, I mean, you just never know what to expect.
No, you never know what to expect. And it's like, comedy is, because we've been doing this, it's the way it feels to us. It seems like the one place of entertainment where that is sometimes encouraged, to get drunk, to be chatty, to just somehow. That's the great thing about the intro at Zany's that Kevin Bozeman has recorded, mm-hmm. That no one laughs like this. Oh my God, remember that was like that one time when they did this, and somehow people start having their own conversations.
Yeah.
We have a plan, it's a performance that requires attention. We need you to pay attention. I mean, like, I remember I was doing a fundraiser with, and there were people in the front at the table, like in the front tables, like all with their phones, like, and I have all, they're not paying any attention to me. So finally, I actually got my phone and started taking pictures of people in the audience and posting it of that. That's what they were doing during the performance.
Oh, man. I don't know how many times I've been on the road somewhere doing some show and there's people not paying attention. The great thing is they're paying you regardless.
Yes.
So if I got the check in hand or the cash in hand and they want to yell stuff or whatever or not pay attention or what, go ahead and do whatever you're going to do. Mm-hmm. I don't care. I've had some interesting experiences even here in town, like the downtown Zanies. I had invited like the entire Callahan family decided they were going to show up.
Uh-oh.
Yeah, and he's like my best friend, okay, mm-hmm. Sean. And he's sitting in the audience, and I started talking about the Irish in Canaryville, where I'm from.
Mm-hmm.
And instead of just, you know, letting me go on with the material, all of a sudden he took it personally and decided to yell at me, "Oh, yeah? What about Schifano?"
Schifano?
Schifano is the only Italian guy that pretty much lived in the Irish neighborhood.
God.
So he's taken this personally, and I'm like, now I have to.
I thought Caponera lived there too.
Caponera, yeah, Irish Italian. Yes. Okay, but this is the only Italian guy.
Italian, yeah.
You know, and he took it personally. And now I have to treat him as, I can't treat him as my best friend.
Right.
You know, now I have to treat him as an audience member who just yelled out, "What about Schifano?"
Yeah, when people you know get involved,
it's I love it.
You can't,
I loved it.
You can't control it.
When we all went out after that, it was great.
Yeah. Oh man. By the way, Craig, when we come back, you know, Kevin was the was with one of the friends I was with when I was removed from Wrigley Field, by the way. More after this on 720 WGN. Indecent Exposure. What? 720 WGN. You're listening Pretty Late. I'm your host, Patty Vasquez, live in the Allstate Showcase studio. I'm joined by comedians Kevin Naughton and now Ken Gard joins us. I thought, you know, it's always weird when you leave a comedian in the green room. It's like, now first him and then you and then we'll bring you in. Because I've done this for a long time. The weirdest one is always like Bob and Tom show because you're like, when do I get to go on? And it gets weird. So I wanted to be able to also give you individual time, but I thought we could do a little crossover here. Ken, where did you grow up?
I grew up on the southwest side of Chicago as well.
So you're both Southsiders.
Yeah.
All right. Canaryville and what southwest side, what neighborhood or suburb?
It's like near Beverly.
Near Beverly? Does it not have its own?
It hits Ashburn, I guess, but nobody ever knows it by Ashburn.
Is that right?
Oh. Yeah. Near Beverly.
Well, on the south side, you always tell what church you grew up in. So I grew up at Tommy Moore.
That's true. Yeah, the parish.
Yeah.
St. Gabriel is
yours?
Where I'm from.
Yeah.
And,
I'm St. Tecla then.
You got what?
I'm St. Tecla. That's my...
St. Tecla?
St. What? 312-981-7200. Please admonish Kevin for his mocking tone of St. Tecla.
I can't help my mocking tone.
We also have St. Tarsus. We have St. Tarsus, St. Tecla, Immaculate Conception, or the triangle of churches that
I can't possibly keep up with all these people who've been canonized.
St. Constance is another.
Wow.
We got a lot of them.
Yeah, I did.
Well, you guys have a lot of Catholic churches on the south side, obviously.
Well, the one that we have, St. Gabriel, is a National Historic Landmark. It's a beautiful church.
Mm-hmm.
Now, I have no idea what it's doing in that little Irish neighborhood because, you know... How
Irish seem to be a little bit Catholic.
Well, I understand that. I just think that, you know, like they have terms, certain names that they call places in New York City, like Hell's Kitchen.
Mm-hmm.
I mean, if that's Hell's Kitchen, then Canaryville is pretty much Satan's beer garden, as far as I'm concerned.
Well, Canaryville has almost a New York sound to it. It doesn't it? I mean, it's one of the few that has are there any other Villes in Chicago? Any other neighborhoods? 312-981-7200. Are there any other Villes?
Yeah, this is how you Google things.
There's Bronzeville.
There's Bronzeville. Okay. Oh, yeah, there. Thank you very much. Yeah. Yeah, there you go. Quick. That was perfect.
Yeah, you know, there's no canaries in Canaryville.
Yeah, do you know why it's called Canaryville?
Well, there's a couple of rumors, and one of them is that, and this is, because I tried to research this, and apparently when the Irish first settled and came to the area, they saw a lot of birds, did not know what to call them, and decided to call them canaries.
Mm-hmm.
Now, that brilliance right there is something you can't top, because canaries are indigenous, if that's the proper word, to the northwest coast of Africa, Canary Islands.
Mm.
Yeah, so I don't know that we would find canaries, you know, anywhere around, but if you can imagine...
Maybe they brought the canaries.
Yeah.
Maybe that's why they called them that.
Let's go back, if you will.
Wow, this is where the phone lines... I love that when we talk neighborhoods, that's and the phone lines light up a little bit.
You know, I mean, let's go back, if you will, to a bunch of Irish guys sitting around in a bar, hundreds, 100 years ago or so, and then all of a sudden it's last call, and they come out, and they're all, you know, they've been drinking all night long, and they see some birds. What do you think? It's a brogue. You go, would you look at all the canaries over there? I mean, I have no idea.
And that's how it became Canaryville.
Real quick, Steve called in. He was upset that we played Go Cubs Go, and no one thought of Wrigleyville.
Oh, geez.
Wow.
Yeah. Wow. Thank you, Steve. Don't be upset.
Well, we've got two Southsiders on the radio.
I know. And I'm a Northsider and a Cubs fan, which was why Craig Craig was playing the Cubs song. And the reason I was going to ask you, Kevin, why were you at that game? Why did you guys all have tickets, all your friends from Canaryville, that we went to that Cubs game on that particular day? Because you're all Southsiders.
Yeah.
I'm guessing a lot of, if I remember correctly, all Sox fans.
Not necessarily. It's a mixed bag. There are a lot of Southside Cub fans, mm-hmm. and I happen...
A lot? 10? Maybe 10, 11?
No, I think you're wrong about that. I think there's a lot.
You think there's a lot
yes,
of Cubs fans?
Yes, I think there's a lot of Cubs fans.
Do they hide?
Southside.
They must hide a little bit.
I think they might tone it down a little bit, okay. but my buddy Mochy, he's a Southside
See,
Cubs
this
fan.
Is what yeah. I'm saying.
Yeah.
Mochy's been a Southside Cub fan for years. That's just, you know...
Do we know how Mochy got his name, or is Mochy his given name on his certificate?
Yes. Exactly. He was baptized. I now baptize the Mochy.
Yeah. I got a feeling there's more than one Mochy in Canaryville.
No, there's only one. Hey, listen, if you're going to be blasphemous, don't start with me, my fellow comedic friend over here.
I'll come down to St. Gabriel, do a couple two-tree prayers.
That's how we count to three, too. That's one, couple, two-tree. Okay. that Mochy got his name from the Disney movie. Little League Mochy many, many, many years ago.
Little League Mochy from what Disney film?
That was the name of the Disney film, Little League Mochy, from what I understand.
Is that a baseball movie? You're just making things
yeah,
up now.
That's why I'm
the
here.
Irish saw canaries and
they came the number
out of
again.
Yeah,
find
312-981-7200.
I that was a movie.
No. This
Thanks,
is,
Patty.
This
Ken,
is,
I'm just going to be making things up for the rest of for the remainder of
I believe Craig has done some fact checking.
This is a real movie, Mochy of the Little League, A Diamond is a Boy's Best Friend.
Aw.
Now, Mochy comes out of his house one day, and Tommy Casey from my old neighborhood saw him and said, "Hey, I was just watching this movie, and you look just like Little League Mochy. Hey, Mochy," and it stuck.
Wow. How old was?
27 years old.
I was gonna say.
It just actually, this just happened the other year. Yeah. He's like 58.
I'm curious when. How old did it be for a nickname to stick, and that's the only way people know you?
Well, it depends. Now, for him, I'm going to guess 5 or 6 years old is when he got the nickname. Could be earlier
Mochy.
Than that.
Okay.
Yeah, Little League Mochy. Yeah.
I had the unfortunate experience. I look like Didi Khan, and the movie Grease had come out when I was a kid.
Okay.
And so everyone called me Frenchie. So that's not something you want when you're a little kid. That's not a good name for a
Frenchie's not good.
Frenchie, because then you get a little bit older and people start talking about French kissing and all that kind of stuff. And I didn't even understand that because I was very naive.
See, being the maniac single guy that I am, I love that nickname.
Okay. let's hold for that after the news. We'll get into all that. More after this on 720 WGN. We're hanging out with Ken Garr, Kevin Naughton, and that's Pretty Late. You are listening Pretty Late. I'm your host, Patty Vasquez, live in the Allstate Showcase studio. I'm joined by comedians Ken Garr and Kevin Naughton. Yep. Ken, you have a show coming up for Michael Kendo. Is that this weekend? Oh, you have the holiday ball.
Yeah, it's the holiday giggle. It's on December 9th.
Excellent.
Yeah.
And do you all get to pick a charity, or is it one big charity?
No, there's like 9 comics and 9 charities, so every one of us represents a different charity.
And who are you representing?
I am representing the... Brighton Kelly Little League Baseball.
Hey!
Yeah.
Excellent.
So,
That's an incredible event. Every year, Michael Kendo has a slew of comics, very talented comedians, and they get to, again, do a fundraiser. And what day is that, on the 9th?
It is on December 9th, yep.
December 9th.
At Joe's on Weed Street.
I can't stop by. Sometimes I try to stop by, but I can't this year, because I'll be out of town. But that'll be very fun. It's a great show. I'm guessing you have Gwen LaRocca on the show, and I'll try to see if I can get everybody else, a couple of other people that are going to, Joey Villagomez?
Yeah.
All right,
yeah,
cool.
This is a nice crew there.
So it's Joe's on Weed Street, and you can go to
MikeyOComedy.com for tickets.
Excellent.
Yep.
And you're in Lansing, too, this week.
Yeah.
They can hear us in Michigan.
Up in Lansing, Michigan. I'm at Trippers Comedy Club.
Trippers Comedy Club.
Yeah.
Wonderful. I wish you the best of weather, because I think all three of us know how it can be when the seasons change and the winter is the worst.
And
it's like, you look at the calendar and you go, why did I pick the Upper Peninsula in January? Was that really a great idea?
Really? I'm going up to Petoskey, 6.5 hours.
Did you ever do Negaunee?
Oh, yeah.
For Roz, right? For Turner.
Yeah. Oh, that's right. I've been up there. That's right. That's right.
Negaunee
near Marquette.
And, mm-hmm.
And then we do the Oneida Casino on the way back the next night.
I have done that, and I vaguely remember both of them.
Well, both of you are Southsiders. We were talking about Ken is from Ashburn.
And
Kevin is from Canaryville. Rob wanted to talk a little bit about Kevin's neighborhood. Hey, Rob.
Hey, I grew up in Wrightwood.
Okay.
In Kenmore, but my parents were from Canaryville, and the nicknames were absolutely out of bounds.
Oh, they had friends with a lot of nicknames too. What kind of nicknames do you remember?
Yeah. Oh, my dad was Ollie.
Mm-hmm.
His brother was Jingles. My aunt, I have an aunt Tootie.
Okay.
Aunt Nooksie.
Okay.
And their friends were Lousy Larry and Tomatoes, Wobbles.
What is it about Canaryville that lends itself to nicknames like this, Kevin?
I don't know. I think, I can't speak for everybody. All I know is it's something about hanging around with a bunch of people like this, and we're so close-knit, and we grew up, we're cut from the same cloth, and for some reason, you know, a guy's got an overbite, and his name's Donald. We nicknamed him Donald Duck.
Donald Duck, okay.
Donald Duck. And Duck gave me my nickname.
My dad was Ollie because he looked like Ollie from Laurel and Hardy.
From Laurel, that's what I thought when you said that.
Robert, was your family Irish?
Yes.
Yeah, so apparently, like, only one Italian family was allowed, and Caponera is Irish and Mexican. I mean, Irish Italian.
No, there was tons. No, no.
There were tons.
They mixed in, but, you know.
But mostly Irish.
As long as you were Catholic, it worked out okay.
That kind of did. And then, you know, he was bringing up all these people. Like, I got my one brother, Brian, his nickname is Noodles, and my other brother, Jimmy, is Knuckles. My sister, Carol, is Cha-Cha. You know,
poor Cha-Cha.
Yeah, well, you know, the whole family's involved here.
Kevin, what's your nickname?
Doc.
Doc.
Like doctor.
Yeah. All right.
Yeah, that's just, I got
that. She must have been a hell of a dancer.
Yeah, exactly. That's what I was doing. I was dancing when...
No, your sister.
No, Cha-Cha.
Oh, you mean Cha-Cha. Okay. I thought for some reason it was coming at me. You see this, I'm so prepared in my mind for the worst.
Everyone remembers Slugs.
Slugs?
Slugs. Okay, I'm gonna tell you about a guy. There was a guy.
All right, Rob.
You
know, Rob
thank
Rob,
you.
Thank you for calling,
me.
Rob. You started him up.
There was a guy in my neighborhood who was a Marine, and he was out of the service. But he scared everybody. He would walk into Kelly's Tavern, and everybody would turn around and see Slugs coming in, and everybody was like, "Oh man." And you knew at some point he was going to cause a problem. There was going to be fighting. There was going to be racial slurs. Everything you could possibly imagine. This man could not go anywhere without getting into some sort of a mix. He had that turbulent personality where
just couldn't let anything go.
Yeah, so his nickname was Slugs.
Slugs.
Yeah, first time I met him, I was 14 years old. I'm walking down the alley. Now, I'm a skinny guy, and I'm at the age I am now. Imagine how skinny I was when I was 14, and I didn't even know this guy. And he gets out of his car, and he's got these Popeye arms. And I walk by him. I says, "How you doing, sir?" as I'm walking by. And he looks at me, and he goes, "How are you with the Dukes?" And that was Slugs Devers. And luckily, he didn't hit me or nothing.
Yeah, thankfully.
And this fellow who called in, this guy who just called in, Rob, yeah, there are families of nicknames. Like
yeah,
this one
apparently.
This one family was Filthy Phil, Junkyard Jim. They had five kids. Filthy Phil, Junkyard Jim, Mildew Mary, Cockroach Kathy.
Poor Mary.
And then finally, Bacteria Bill.
Oh, God. There weren't any nicknames in your neighborhood, Ken, were there? Do you remember?
No,
anybody?
Everything ended in, like, Y. There was Mikey, Joey, Kenny, Barry. You know what I mean?
Yeah.
Their neighbor was like that too. Jimmy, Johnny, Susie, Patty. As creative as we got.
We had guys, one guy in my neighborhood, you met him, Sean Callahan. He went to
that game? All right.
Yeah. And Sean's, and this will fit into the WGN thing here. Back, you remember the Ray Rayner show?
Sure.
Okay, it was a children's show, and they had a pet duck on the show, and the pet duck's name was Chelveston. Well, one day, my buddy Sean, as a little boy, he's walking down the street, and somebody sees him walking, and apparently he was waddling a little bit. So Joey Campbell, whose nickname was Soupy.
Of course.
He yells out, "Hey." He goes, "Hey, Sean, hey, look at you. You walk like a duck. Hey, Chelveston. Hey, Chelveston, a duck."
And that's it.
And it stuck.
Chelveston. What a complicated... Chelveston is sounds
well,
like a
name. Well,
they shortened
it to Chelvy.
Chelvy.
And Sean Callahan, I'll guarantee you this right now, he hated that nickname.
Sure.
It took him 10 years, and he literally, it took him 10 years to break everybody in the neighborhood from calling him Chelvy.
Yeah. But how do you break people from calling you?
I'm going to tell you how he did it. Here's how he did it. Every time somebody would
shot a guy.
Exactly. He got a gun. He loaded it. Yeah. he would say, if somebody said, "Hey, Chelvy," he'd go, "Sean will do."
Every
single time. Sean will do. As a matter of fact, my other buddy, Pat Baker, whose nickname is Tata, Okay, because his head looked when he was when he was a little boy, he had a head like a potato.
Did anybody in Canaryville have a self-esteem growing up? Like, can you imagine? Well, like nowadays, like you'd have to have a parent conference because someone called your kid a name, and
right, it's a whole neighborhood of people who just have to have thick skin to live there.
Yeah, you pretty much need a callus on your personality in order to get through everything.
Yeah, no kidding.
Now callus was actually a guy named Kevin.
Yeah, that's right. We did have a guy. Like I'm telling you, there's guys who had double nicknames. Like this one guy, Mumbles.
Uh-huh.
Oh man,
poor Mumbles.
I
feel sorry for all these
people. I got to tell you something. I didn't know that this guy's nickname was Mumbles until about 15 years ago.
Because he couldn't understand a word he said.
I was buying a 12 pack from a bar called Flappers, which was the nickname of the guy who ran the bar.
Oh my god,
who owned the bar. So I go in there, I pick up the 6-pack and the 12-pack, I got it tucked under, and all of a sudden Mumbles comes walking up. I go, hey, how are you? Because I knew of him, but I didn't know him. And all I can hear him say in a crowded bar was,
oh, no.
Right in my ear. So I get done there, and I'm like, oh, okay. His name was Danny. I said, okay, Dan, nice to see you. I shook hands, go across the street, and I run into my buddy Earl. And
No nickname? Earl doesn't have... Or is that his nickname?
No, Earl's a big, bad dude, and he really didn't need a nickname.
Okay, you don't give that guy a nickname.
Yeah. Big, bad dude, Earl. And I went up to Earl, and I said, what's the matter? I said, I just ran into Danny over there. He goes, oh, Mumbles? I said, oh, I didn't know he had a nickname of Mumbles.
Yeah, that explains
it
all.
But I'm telling you, that right in your ear is just...
Just smile and nod. You just smile and nod.
Creeped me out.
Yeah, it sounds like you had a very colorful neighborhood. And I did hang out with many of them that day. We went to this Cubs game. Uh-huh. And I know exactly what day of the year it was. It was August 17th. It happened to be my birthday that we went to Wrigley. And I was there. We were all hanging out first. We started out across the street at one of the bars,
right,
having a couple pops, as my dad would say.
Oh, yeah.
And then they also, we were in the bleachers, and on one of the ramps, they had the margarita machines, the slushy machines.
Oh,
so I might have one or two of those. Yeah, I was drinking margaritas too, Kevin.
I didn't know that.
Oh, yeah. We got there like 11.
Yes, we did.
Yeah, so they were playing warm up. The Cubs are out in the outfield doing some warm ups, I had never hung out during the warm ups, and the players were out in the outfield throwing balls into the stands, and I turned to Kevin and his friends, and I was like, we were all screaming for balls, and I said, I can get a ball, and next thing you know, I flashed the outfielder bra on. By the way,
okay.
just bra on, yeah. And I'm not even sure why later were we encouraged to continue trying to get attention from the outfielders, because then my friends Patricia Nelson and Melanie Gilpin showed up, and the three of us were then also flashing the outfielders, at which point the Andy Franz came, and they were still Andy Franz at the time.
Yeah,
there was blue and yellow. Yeah,
there was security, and they had their eyes on us because
we were
just
a little loud.
We were noisy, yeah. And drinking and carrying.
Well,
on.
And there were a lot of people who were scantily dressed. Our point was that there were people like wearing the pants riding down low, and you could see butt cracks, and there were girls with like little triangles covering their nipples, with the string bikinis.
It was a wonderful day.
It was and so we were whatever. I really don't know why we continued to flash. Maybe twice we did. And Melanie says she was just showing her belly. I think Patricia said that she was, I don't know if she was wearing a bra or not, might have been the thing. I was wearing a bra, but we were all removed. We were removed and escorted to Cubby Jail. There is one beneath the bleachers at Wrigley Field. Mm-hmm. And I did not know this part. Patricia, we were asked for our IDs, our driver's license, so that they could take our photograph, and we were banned from the park for the rest of the season. I did not know this. I did not turn mine over. She said that I refused to. I don't remember that part of it. Yeah, she said I did not turn over, they wanted to prosecute, that they were welcome to do so, but that I would not be giving over my driver's license.
This is amazing.
I did not know that part of it.
I didn't know that either.
Apparently, when I have alcohol, I start to get very legal. If you want to pursue this, you will have to press charges. You're not getting my driver's license. You have no legal right to take my driver's license.
I
don't remember that part of it at all.
Okay. Yes. See, that's good that you're at least admitting that you don't remember something, because I remember every moment that occurred, and your version of it is
wildly different.
What happened? Entertaining. However,
I did it at one point remove the bra. That was when we were outside. When we were in Cubby Jail, I took my shirt off completely with just the bra on and said, "If you know, this is a problem for you because there are girls wearing less than this out in the stands."
Right.
And, but you weren't in Cubby Jail. You couldn't have known that I did that.
No, you flashed me later when you came out of the ballpark.
Yes. I said, they had a problem with this. If I had done this, I could understand it. And, then, and that was when all the guys were on the ramp. And then they proceeded to then purchase beverages. They all left the game with us and purchased beverages for us across the street.
Okay, I'd like to go back. Oh, they did. We did not have to pay. Because of you three girls, I know this much. The party that...
I was young. I was in my 20s, yes.
Yes, you were. Yeah. And I remember that we didn't have to pay for a drink in that bar because you girls, it was showtime. Mm-hmm.
They bought drinks for the guys, though?
They just said...
Because we had so many that we could possibly...
They just... Well, you know, the guys, when the guys come in and they do that circular thing with their hand and they say, hey, come on, let's buy this party a round.
Yeah.
And the bartenders are looking, going, well, wait a minute. There's the three girls plus all these guys that are with... And
from Canaryville, no less.
Yeah, all of them from Canaryville. And they did. And by the way, let's
so what's your version?
My version is, first of all, I remember when you flashed the St. Louis Cardinal pitcher who was in the outfield shagging fly balls.
Okay, maybe that happened as well. But did I mention? I think I've mentioned that there was a car. I do have a Cardinal ball as well from that game. Yes.
Yeah, right. And I remember the flash, and you know, you had yelled down there, hey, throw me a ball. And the guys, the ball players are down there going, well, why should I throw you a ball? And then all of a sudden you flashed them. And then, you know, it's, at that point it was like the old Captain Kangaroo show when the 1,000 golf balls started raining down upon us. Like, hey, balls for everybody. Patty's showing off. That's what I remember. Yeah. And then Callahan, you know, Bag Callahan, his new nickname is not it's not Shelby. You can't call it. It's Sean will do. Right. So his new nickname is Bag because he's got a voice that cuts metal, and that's another story right there.
Wow.
Anyway,
okay.
He brought his camera to take pictures of all the beautiful
Does he have
women.
Pictures of this?
He has some incriminating evidence.
Does he really?
I understand.
Wow.
Yes.
Oh, and he's never shared? I would
love
to see a 28 or 29-year-old Patty.
Well, you'd love to ruin his marriage, wouldn't you?
How did Patty not get a nickname after this day?
Do I have a nickname from amongst
flashy?
The friends?
I don't know that you have
flashy,
a
flashy. Oddly, it's Frenchie. More after this on 720 WTF. You are listening Pretty Late. I'm your host, Patty Vasquez, live in the Allstate Showcase studio and having gone down memory lane with my friend Kevin Naughton. And yes, officially the first ex-boyfriend I've ever had on the show. I guess that would be accurate.
Okay.
We dated, sure.
Yeah,
we could say that.
We did. Yeah,
I mentioned it last week to our audience.
I'm comfortable. I don't have anybody to go home to.
I don't know that I did not tell this story about how... Do you remember how you asked me out the first time when I was dating somebody else?
I think you've told me this before, but I don't recall.
We were in the... There used to be, at the Improv on Wells, there was a backstage. There was another stage, sort of a, you know, they would do sketch groups in there. Do you remember? There was the pool, there was the lobby with the bar and the pool table.
Right.
But there was also kind of that sort of front stage, but backstage, like smaller stage area. Mm-hmm. And we were sitting around and you said, came over and asked me if I was available for children's parties.
Is that what I did?
Yeah.
Nice.
Okay. Well, it must
Real
have worked
nice.
Out.
I was a new comic and I thought, I don't think my humor works with children. I didn't know that you were asking me out at the time. You explained it to me later.
Yeah, I think for me, I know that sometimes whatever moment I'm in, it would probably sound like it was extremely applicable at that moment, and right now it's not transferring very well.
No.
You know, are you available for children's parties? Sounds like I'm Peter Pervert over here.
Right. It came across as just for me. It was confusing, but it was somewhat charming. Yes.
Did Peter Pervert grow up in your neighborhood, by the way?
His name was Michael, actually.
Yeah, he lived on, you know what, we don't want to talk about him too much,
oh,
but you bring
boy.
Up an excellent point. Mm-hmm. If I'm not mistaken, the pervert family did live in the middle of Low Avenue, and they never cut their grass, they didn't take care of their house, we had to ask them to leave. We said, hey, that's it, you perverts out of here.
Get over to Bridgeport.
Yeah.
Where you belong.
Oh,
now you're starting trouble.
That's fine. I actually got... one time, me and Patty Baker, Potato Head Tates.
Yeah, not me. I'm not. Yeah,
no,
Tates. Yeah.
No, I'm not.
Patty with a D, double D, right?
Yeah, exactly.
Yes.
With Patrick, we actually got tossed out of a bar in our own neighborhood for just because he took. They're so territorial in the neighborhoods. That, oh, yeah. That when oh, somebody yeah. says Bridgeport or Canaryville, like, where are you from? And if you don't want to make the mistake of, well, you're from Bridgeport. Oh, wait a minute, I'm from Canaryville. Oh, okay, sorry, I didn't mean to insult you.
Sure.
It's like it's not an insult, but it's closing in on one for
yeah.
some of us.
Oh, yeah, no, I know. And it can be, you know, everyone's got their quirks in their neighborhood. Now, Ken, you grew up in Ashburn. You guys, are you as territorial there? Or is it, you got the, you know, oh, that's the gateway to Beverly?
Well, I think it was more for high school, right? So
oh,
I
yes.
went to St. Rita, you know. And
oh,
then you
did?
Got,
okay.
Yeah, and you got territorial when you got to high school. So we hated, like, the Mount Carmel guys. And then,
oh, that makes
like,
sense.
Like, oh, where you go? I go to Rice, you know. I mean, mm-hmm. even now, like 20 years later, mm-hmm. I'm out, you know, I'll run into a Brother Rice guy. Like, oh, this guy. He was a Rita guy over here.
That's,
you know?
That's how I am about Gordon Tech. I went to Lane Tech.
Oh, you know, okay.
I mean,
okay.
I guess some public schools too, but more. Gordon was annoying because they took up too much room on the bus. So, what is it like coming home for the holidays? I know you're living in L.A.
Yeah,
and your roommate, by the way, getting yes. engaged after.
Yeah,
is that strange?
Yeah. Well, yeah. I mean, you know, Nate's a romantic guy, and he was love at first sight.
And you're like, great. Now I lose half the rent. This guy's
right.
married.
He's like, well,
he's settled into a lease with a guy. Yeah.
What, you had a joint out there, and he was
no,
paying
no, no. Ken is a roommate with Nate Weatherup, who's a comedian
okay.
from here,
yeah,
and he
I
just got
Nate.
Engaged. So now Ken's going to lose a roommate
oh, wow.
over the whole thing.
Not hard to find a roommate in LA.
No,
though.
I can imagine.
Yeah.
It's so expensive out there.
It is, yeah.
So
yeah.
crazy.
My
actually, when is he moving out? Maybe, I might need a room.
I think he's moving out December 1st.
Really?
Yeah.
What?
I'm sorry. March 1st.
March
That's
1st.
Our lease is up March 1st.
Right. Okay, because he's already
yeah.
gone if it's December
Yeah,
1st,
it's today. Right? He moved today.
How many bathrooms you got?
We just have the one, but I don't ever
then,
use it,
then,
so you're good
mind.
To go.
That's all right.
I just go outside.
That's why I like Jimmy Schubert's place so much. He's got two bathrooms. So
oh,
it's a,
yeah.
He's got a bedroom with its own bathroom. And a chin-up bar. He's got one of those chin-up
you got
bars.
A chin, well, you got to have a chin-up bar.
Got,
yeah,
yeah,
especially, you know.
Yeah.
I learned that, too. Two bathrooms, one chin-up bar, and I'm set.
Then you're all set for everything. Yeah.
Yeah,
so when you come home, though, is it nice to, you know, sort of, because there was a Muppets episode tonight where there's one of the Muppets is a bear, and he says he always dreamt of being a Chicago Bear, not
yeah.
on the football team, but in Chicago because the food is great and there's no body shaming.
Yeah. No, because we all have the same bodies.
We're comfortable with that. But in LA, there's a lot of pressure.
It's funny because you get off the plane and you're like, you know, like that scene from Goodfellas, like, take me to jail. It's like, take me to Portillo's. You know what I mean? Like, you go straight there.
Yes.
You know, and then, like, you eat your Portillo's, and then on the way home, you grab a Giordano's pizza. Mm-hmm. And, you know, you're good to go.
Exactly.
You know?
You're right back where you belong.
Oh,
although they eat a lot in L.A. I'm confused by their volume of, like, In-N-Out burgers and all their junk food.
Yeah. You know, you reminded me of, you know, Billy Gardell.
Of course.
From Mike and Molly. Well, mm-hmm. Bill's a wonderful guy, and I had the opportunity to, we worked together, and we drank together a lot.
Mm-hmm.
As a matter of fact, we drank, and then we got to know each other, and it was amazing to me. He came to Chicago, and Patty Nelson, who you mentioned earlier, the bartender from Zany's years ago, Billy calls me and he says, hey, you know, I'm coming to Chicago. I'd like to, he says, I'd like you to take me to, let's go someplace that's really a Chicago place. And I said, all right, I'm going to take you to the Billy Goat.
Okay.
Yeah.
So, Billy Goat Tavern.
Now the one over by the United
right
Center or down
right
here?
Okay, right cool. here. Right mm-hmm. underneath here.
Low, on Hubbard.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. Right underneath here. Okay. And Billy walks in. Now, Bill's a big guy.
Yes.
He's always been a big guy, and he's trying to watch what he eats, and I'm taking him in for cheeseburgers,
mm-hmm.
right? So it's me, Patty Nelson, Billy Gardell, a couple, three other people. That's how I count. Three other people, right? And we're standing in line, and and I brought him there, crack of noon, because I wanted him to yell, cheeseburger, 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 cheeseburger. So we get in line, and this guy Tito, who's got he's the guy doing the yelling, you know. And I got to know these guys because they make me cry laughing. I can't help it. You know?
By the way, the Billy at the Billy at the Grill is gone. He quit Billy Goat. So I'm a little sad about that. No, we all get to know the people at Billy Goat. But go ahead.
Okay, cool. Yeah.
So Tito's doing the yelling.
Tito's doing all the, you know, cheeseburger, cheeseburger. Come on, next, let's go. You know, he's got everybody in line, and he hits us all up, and he comes to me. He says, I said, give me a cheeseburger. He goes, how about a double? I said, oh, okay, a double. He goes, next. And then somebody else says, Patty says, give me a cheeseburger. He goes, how about a double? The best. Why not? Come on. Next. Comes to Billy. Looks at Billy. And
oh, no.
Yeah. And he says, and Billy goes, just give me a cheeseburger. And Tito looks at him and he goes, how about a double? And Billy goes, no, just a cheeseburger. And Tito looks at him and goes, look at the size of you. You should get a tripla.
Oh, no.
Yeah.
Oh,
you should get a tripla. Not a triple. A tripla.
Yeah. Oh, man. More with our guests, Kevin Naughton and Ken Garrow. We come back on 720 WGN. You are listening Pretty Late. I'm your host, Patty Vasquez, live in the Allstate Showcase studio, hanging out with Chicago comedians Ken Garr and Kevin Naughton. Ken has an event coming up at the Holiday Giggle at Joe's on Weed Street. Go to MikeyOComedy.com for tickets. Kevin Naughton, you go to Zanies.com, the next show for Snapshots. We're about a dozen comics, about 10 comics, 8 comics, 6. How many you got?
We do about 10.
10?
Everybody gets what I call a Tonight Show style set, where you get about 6 minutes. Keep it like you're going to do the Tonight Show. Mm-hmm. Then whatever's left over, and I never know who's going to stop by.
Yeah,
I don't. I mean, people like Pat McGann, who's done a couple of Letterman shows, has stopped by.
I think Slagle's doing your next show.
Oh,
Slagle.
Slagle's been a veteran and just a real stable force, always doing my show or close to always. Yeah. And also, I remember one time I got done. I thought we were done with the show. I said, thank you, good night. I headlined it. I finished it up. And the MC passed me by, and she said, Hannibal Buress is here.
Yeah. And I said, okay. Sure, why not?
And Hannibal had his glass of whiskey, and he decided he was going to go up and do about 20 minutes, and he was great.
Yeah, of course. Yeah. What a great surprise for the audience.
Yeah, it was wonderful. And we just never know who's going to stop. Eddie Brill stopped by last one we did in the middle of just a few weeks ago. And Eddie being the booker and multiple appearances on the Letterman show. So it's packed with people who are trying to get into Zanies, aspiring comics. But I've seen them before. I've seen them perform, and they're solid.
Good.
I love that, and they do a good job. And then we get every now and then, like you said, Slagle will stop by, or somebody will stop by who is a really good comic, and it just builds up the show.
Well, Saturday, you have a lot of – what was that?
Saturday, I was at Zany's last week with John Caponera, and Saturday David Arquette stopped by.
Oh, really?
Yeah, that's right. To
do time or just hang out at the club?
To do time, yeah.
What?
Yeah, so he came in with a couple of people, and he was doing the local show Sherlock, which just finished up last week. And
that's tremendous.
Got up on stage, did about 5 minutes. And
that's the thing about the Zany's on Wells. That is the club where if someone's in town, that's where they'll go.
Oh, yeah.
You know, I mean, Carlin, when he was alive, would stop by and do time there.
Yeah, he did.
And Jay Leno would drop by because he was friends with Rick Hewitt. There's a lot of people, so you never know at Zany's on Wells.
There's the guys are telling me, I dropped his name earlier, T.P. Mulrooney's an old friend of mine who's a comic through the Zany's. He was telling me about the time Belushi and Aykroyd literally stopped in just to see what was going on and then invited him out for a night on the town.
Oh, boy.
Oh,
man. On the town.
On the town, just to hang out at their place nearby and all this stuff.
Well, I've heard stories about TP putting it away, too. So,
oh, yeah. He's nuts. Mm-hmm. I love that guy. He's nuts. He can drink and carry on. And then they were telling me about the time, I think Larry Reeb was telling me about the time Rodney Dangerfield stopped.
Oh, there you go.
Yeah. Out of nowhere. And they just like, hey, he got up and did time on that stage.
It's an incredible club. And Ken, you've been performing at places like Flappers in Burbank and a lot of those clubs in LA. Is it weird? Because I mean, like, everyone's kind of in LA. It's a different vibe with the sets, I'm guessing. Is it? Or
yeah, I mean, it's funny because like I felt like the first 6 months I was in LA, like nothing was hitting. Like I would be like, oh, here's my A material, and just wasn't, you know. And I think, you know, you have to become not a different comic, but you have to kind of figure out what's going to work in those types of rooms.
Is it because it's a lot of performers that are in the audience, or is it just a different pace?
Yeah, I think it's a little bit of both. I think it's just LA is a little bit of a different vibe. You know what I mean? And they want, you know, different types of jokes.
More cynical, or do you have a tone for it? Or
yeah,
just...
I think a little bit more cynical, more maybe self-deprecating. You know what I'm saying? So, you know, what I found was that, you know, I just would kind of write some new material, and now I think the challenge is like bringing it back to the Midwest and making it all work.
Right.
You know what I mean? So, and it's been great.
Well, and the most important thing as a comic is always being your most authentic person on stage. And that can be really hard when you're also trying to get an audience to like you and to think what you think is funny too, is to sort of get them on the same page. When you tell people that you're from Chicago, what kind of reaction do you get in Los Angeles?
They actually love Chicagoans.
We're sort of this mystical island in the middle of the country.
Somebody had the best description. I was talking to a friend last week, and I'm like, oh yeah, I'm going back to Chicago. He's like, I love Chicagoans. He goes, they're the nicest people in the world, but they have a switch.
Yeah.
I go, what do you mean a switch?
Yeah.
He goes, I know you. He goes, you've got a switch. I go, yeah, I got a switch.
Yeah,
you know?
I got a switch.
You know?
I absolutely have a switch.
It's like, I'll help you shovel your walk, but, you know, if you make fun of the White Sox, like, it's going to happen.
What are the kind of people that will open the door for you, but you better say thank you?
Oh, absolutely.
Otherwise, we will hit you with the door.
Yeah. Yeah. I mean, pull you back outside, yeah, close the door, and then you can do it yourself.
I have that urge. So I don't know how much, obviously you've been in town when the video hit last week. And today they did, announce that the superintendent of the police department has resigned. With Rahm Emanuel requesting that resignation. You guys have grown up in a city that nobody really trusts our politicians anyway.
Yeah.
It just seems like just a show. I mean, I didn't talk about this much tonight. We talked about it a lot last night. We had Dwayne Kennedy and Erica Nicole Clark in last night.
Oh, okay.
And I was telling them, I felt bad that I hadn't had them on the show. And then, of course, when something black happens, I'm like, hey, let me get my black friends. But they were very honest. Like, they were very honest and very passionate about what their experiences have been like. And I think I wanted to hear different voices on it. Yeah. When you guys, because we have a different experience than Erica and Dwayne have had in the city of Chicago. Mm-hmm. But when you think of, Rahm Emanuel, kind of throwing, I think of him as throwing the superintendent under the bus. That's the way I look at it.
Yeah.
Here's my scapegoat.
Yeah, I would agree. And I think it's too little too late.
Absolutely.
You know what I mean? And so, there's just so many questions right now in regards to this case. Why did it take a year for them to arrest him? Why did he get to keep his job? Why did the video? Now, the one thing I will say is, in the I guess it's more of a question than anything, is why release the video if it's now evidence in a murder trial?
Or is it a murder trial because the video was released? Because she had not pressed charges until the day that they were being forced to release the video. They were sued by an independent reporter, a journalist.
Yeah,
with the Freedom of Information Act. Who knows is it possible that she would have never brought charges if it wasn't going to be viewed by everybody?
And they talk about there's 86 seconds that are not on the videotape of the Burger King, which 86 seconds it's missing, which is kind of like, could have been worse. I guess it, because if it was a donut shop, I'll guarantee you, you'd see no video evidence at all.
Right, they'd have their hands on that.
That they're going to release that.
Uh-oh. Now, are we going to get in trouble for Kevin's joke about the police department, or do I make a statement that we do admire and respect? Here's what I got in trouble last night.
Oh, you did?
I do want to say this. There are a lot of heroes on the police department. There are men and women that show up to calls domestic violence, that show up to save lives, that go into situations that none of us would go into. That's the majority of the Chicago Police Department. And by the way, right now they are hiring. You can go online and apply to be in the police department. And this is it's a noble job. And you know what? There are men and women that get up every single day to do their job with no intention of doing anything wrong and of going out to serve and to protect.
Yeah.
But what happened after the Laquan McDonald shooting is something that is what we're focusing on, because it is. And now they're saying that there might be another tape from a shooting the week prior. And if that one comes out, people are saying there was a lawyer on Ro Khan's show talking about how there was an officer that shot another young man.
Yeah.
And this is not the first time that we've seen video that has shaded our opinion of the police department. There was the lawyer from the Abadi. Do you remember the Abadi case? It was a police officer who beat up a female bartender.
Yes.
Just,
oh, man. Just off-duty police officer. Right, yeah.
And the thing with that story, what had happened was, when he did that, the police report, she knew who he was. She, gave his name, that he was a police officer. But when the police report came out, it was that he has first name and then question mark. Like, they didn't know who he was, didn't mention that it was a police officer. He had left the police, the bar, and made phone calls, and there were, and everybody kind, the friends that he circled himself with, not the entire police department, but the people he knew would have his back, did, and they tried to hide that, and that's when we all start to get, that's where, when the mayor said that our trust has been shaken, and that's why he has to ask for the superintendent McCarthy to step down. It's not shaken for some people. For some people, it's shattered. For some people, it never existed.
Right.
For some of us, trust with each other is a problem. You were going to talk about the protesters, Kevin. What did you think about the protesting on Black Friday?
Well, I, bringing levity to the situation here, I mean, the day after Thanksgiving, that people are marching and they're protesting, and it just shed a whole new light on the term. We still have the unmitigated gall to call it Black Friday. I can't help it.
That was awkward, wasn't it? I mean, like, nobody it was a black, and then people started putting memes up that said Black Fridays matter, that kind of thing. people are gonna, and then there was a lot of ugly stuff on both sides. But anytime you want to call an entire group of people because they're upset, because they're angry, because they're feeling hurt. I mean, the thing is, we don't know what that experience is like unless you've lived that in a neighborhood where there is gunshots, where, the idea that that neighborhood is not upset when a little boy like Tyshawn Lee has been executed by a gang member, that's not, it's a fallacy. It's a fallacy to say, well, you know, they don't do anything when they kill each other. They want that to be happening. Like, that's the life that they are choosing. That is not. No. This is not the life that any of us would choose for our own people in the city of Chicago.
You know, it's interesting, too. You talk about the what it's like to live in that area. Many of us do not know what that's like whatsoever. And in this movie, Chirac is coming out also. And some people are, I guess, upset about the movie or whatever it is. But, you know, what's upsetting is reality.
Yes. You know, the shootings are upsetting.
And,
yes.
And you were mentioning something about the police department and how, you know, there's, like, the NFL has a lot of probably great people in it. But then you take two or three people that screw up.
Who take advantage of their privilege.
Of their privilege. And the next thing you know, people think, well, it's, you know, all NFL players are bad. No. No. You're going to...
And in this situation, it's people taking advantage of their power. There are people who did in this situation. Yeah. Not the police department. People in the police department.
Yeah. Right. And you have to ask yourself, if this tape had come out a year ago, would Rahm Emanuel... Exactly. Have won re-election.
Yeah, that's one of the arguments, right?
You know?
And I think he should have let the dice roll.
Right.
And I wonder, too, what do you think about doing a nationwide search? Now, McCarthy's not from here for our superintendent. Mm-hmm. I kind of want, and I know, and I having just mentioned that there's the blue line and whether or not there's corruption, and there is some. We have to admit that. But isn't it, I would rather have someone who's grown up in Chicago, who knows the streets, knows the neighborhoods, has dealt with the gangs, has dealt with the violence, dealt with Wrigleyville, has dealt with, you know, the South Side, has, you know, that knows this city, that knows us.
Yeah.
I think that we're a very unique, I mean, we are. We just are different than New York or Philadelphia or Los Angeles.
I would agree, yeah. I mean,
bring in somebody from the... Bring in somebody from the neighborhood.
Right.
Bring in somebody from Canaryville.
From Canaryville.
Bring in Mooch.
Give me Mooch. All right.
I want a Moochie to run for president. I'm going to be honest with you because they always say, you know, you got to trust somebody, and he's the only guy I trusted. So I thought, well, Moochie for president.
Moochie for president.
Thank you.
I like it. Moochie. Moochie will get it done. More after this on 720 WGN.
We didn't have time for it. We didn't have time to talk about it. Did not make the show. It had to go. Maybe next time. I don't know. This is the end of the show. We gotta go. The end of the show. Do-si-do. I know we didn't get to
the elevator. Kevin Naughton is delighted by the elevator. I think that's the first time anyone sitting in that chair has not even bounced to the beat even a little bit. Kevin Naughton refused to get up and dance. Ken Garr got into it. Thank you very much, sir.
I'm into it.
You're into it. We live stream on WGNRadio.com, Kevin, so we like to give the audience something to watch at the end of the show, and some people really enjoy it. We actually have a longer version of that song.
I think that I can speak for a lot of people by saying that watching you dance... was good enough.
All right, then. There you go.
Oh,
Esmeralda, did you have a chance to enjoy the beat a little bit tonight? I know that you had a lot going on. I didn't get a chance to talk to you tonight.
Oh, no worries. I did a little bopping.
All right. Did you chance to look up the video for the Nose Frida?
I did.
Do
not
you wish?
That big of a deal.
It's not?
I mean, it's your baby, isn't it?
You why would you want to suck its mucus out of its nose?
I mean,
nose?
You don't want to swallow it, but...
No, but it's just, there's some nasty stuff on that video.
I mean, I'm sure there's probably worse that happens with children.
But that's the stuff you expect. I just don't think... Anyway.
Snot isn't something...
There's a product that you can... that's called a nasal aspirator. It's called actually Nose Frida. And one end of the tube goes in the baby's nose and the other end goes in your mouth and you withdraw the mucus by sucking.
Okay. Good to know.
Craig's like, we got to this. Why are we talking about it again?
Sure. More dancing.
Hey, Kevin, what time is it, by the way?
It's almost 1:56.
That's how they say almost in Canaryville. They even have a nickname for the word almost.
Umphist.
Yeah. Craig, I'm guessing there's a lot of stuff that we meant to get to tonight that we didn't get to at all.
Yeah, we did get to some of this stuff.
Yeah.
There was a lot of hamburger meat stolen.
40,000 pounds.
Wow.
Of hamburger meat.
Really? From where?
All stolen.
Mm-hmm.
Just from a factory.
Mm-hmm.
Hamburger meat factory, of course.
How do you cart that out? I mean, how do you go unnoticed?
I don't know.
But I do know how, though. I don't want to talk too loudly because when I entered the building tonight, Craig, the woman behind the desk, the security desk, she was sleeping. So I'm guessing that's how...
Oh, good. Okay,
yeah,
cool.
That's just, wonderful.
Yeah, that might be assume, how that happened.
I'm going to assume it was like an Ocean's 11 type deal.
Yeah. There's a lot of... You have to get an acrobat.
There are some schematics involved.
You got to get a grifter. You got to get...
You know, My buddy, Mikey Schifano, he woke up. He was sleeping, and he missed some of the show. He sent me a text. He said, by the way.
Oh, more nicknames.
He said, by the way, Big Earl's nickname is Train.
Train.
Train, yeah.
Oh,
and he's got a truck full of meat, if you guys are interested. Head down to Canaryville.
That's right.
Yes. Big Earl is also a nickname, by the way.
Yeah, do you not know the Big Earl's
nickname?
Big Earl, I always still refer to him as Big Earl. I'd forgotten about Train.
But you called him Earl. You didn't call him Big Earl earlier.
No, I didn't even mention that. Train.
Hey, Train.
Hey, what's up, Train?
Do you kind of wish now that you had, I think you had to grow up in Canaryville to feel good about a nickname. Yeah. But did you have a nickname, Craig?
Craggers.
Unfortunately.
Wow.
Yeah, we all have variations of our own names.
Right,
Kenny.
Kenny.
They still call me Kenny. It drives me nuts.
Esmeralda has a tough name to break down into a nickname.
Yeah, that's true.
I got a couple, though.
Merle.
Yeah.
Merle's the one that I would not have thought of, but I call you Ez once in a while when I'm just tired.
Ezzy.
Ezzy.
Yeah, Ez, Ezzy, Esme.
Duh.
Duh, yeah. Hey, duh.
That's what you're looking for right there.
Hey, duh.
If you don't remember the name, just call me Duh.
People are going to call you. I'm so sorry.
And that's how it happens in Canaryville.
Yeah.
Duh.
Duh.
At the end of it, just duh.
I apologize completely. Craig, what else did we mean to get to tonight? We've talked about the
science has discovered a new way to make diamonds. Apparently, they can make them at room temperature now.
At room temperature?
Yeah, you can just make diamonds at room temperature.
All right, that should save people a lot of money. Is it cheaper? Yeah.
I think it's way cheaper.
I would think.
Right.
It takes a lot less time. Perhaps there isn't a lot of manual labor involved.
Brazil is now targeting people that say kind of inflammatory stuff on social media by posting their posts on huge billboards throughout the country.
Yeah, I saw this where you can take their social media posts and they are targeting them by maps and then putting whatever horrible things that they say on a billboard next to their home so everyone can know. Rather than just putting it anonymously online, they can't hide behind a keyboard. They got to walk up to – everyone's going to know.
And this is in Brazil.
That's in Brazil.
There's not bigger problems in Brazil than that.
I guess not.
Okay.
Yeah. They got the Olympics coming. That should look good. That's going to be really pretty for the Olympics. Congratulations, Rio de Janeiro. Rio, whatever your name is.
And then Rio. NASA found a mouse on Mars, maybe.
Do you think that the
it looks like a mouse. Maybe there's a mouse on
Mars.
Did
the astronauts leave one behind?
Yeah, I don't know how that works.
Did Matt Damon leave it?
I'm not entirely sure. All right, let's wrap up. And Nick DiGilio is up next.